listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yeah. So what if you flip a couple words? I could triple that in birds. Open your mind and see the circus in the sky. I'm Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey with the pies. No matter how you slice it, I'm your motherfucking guy. Just the B-boy with 360 waves. Do the same with the pot, still come back beige.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. It's your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Tuesday. All right, so it's a Tuesday. There is no regular show tomorrow, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're only getting three shows this week because, you know, niggas want to celebrate their Thanksgiving and stuff too, you know?
Right. Can't,
don't be slave drivers out there, podcast audience. But if you're premium, tomorrow we are doing a Balls Deep Sports with Justin at 5. So we'll still get our sports ratchetness on just in time for Thanksgiving. You guys can all go play that in front of your family while we while y'all watch the Cowboys and the Panthers play. But this is also a special day because it's been a while since we had our boy on the show. But I feel like everybody should be familiar with him, since, you know, if you do listen to the Black Guy with Tips, I mean, that means you probably listen to this podcast, but you should have heard of the Span Report with Mr. Span. You can find him on Twitter, Mr._Span. What's going on, dog?
Not a whole lot, man. Like I said, just working. Just working hard.
I feel you.
The man been like putting his foot in my ass the last couple of weeks.
And how's the podcast going?
Oh, man, the podcast is going good, man. I just did two episodes. Well, not of my show. I did an episode with Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres Saturday. And then I also did another show with the homie Montoyas from he's formerly of Beating the Block. He just started up a new show. So I was a guest on that. I'm thinking about doing another episode tomorrow. And then I got another episode coming up Saturday. So, yeah, things are going good for the Span Report, man.
That's what's up, man.
That's good.
The last time you guys heard Mr. Span on here was episode 991, Jerry Springer Memories.
Oh, yeah, man. That was fun.
Yeah. We had to discuss Friends and having tough discussions. The Cosby Show. Minions. Tyrese promoting his new album on the subway. Nas's baby mama was allegedly homeless. And 50 Cent ordered to pay $5 million, which he never paid.
Oh, no.
Never paid that money.
And we've talked about a police officer who got discovered doing porn. So it was a lot of good stuff, you know. But today we have to talk about The Walking Dead. But before we do that, we got to do some upfront show type stuff real quick. So the first thing I'll say is look for us on iTunes and Stitcher, The Black Guy Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews if we like them and they're nice. We'll read them on the air. You can also leave us voicemails as long as they're 3 minutes or less at 704-557-0186. And you can email the show, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com, with your feedback to The Walking Dead. Some people have already emailed us for today. And just your general feedback, that we discussed on Saturday's show. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme.
And today is day, I believe, 342. That Bobby Shmurda has been locked up in the joint.
That hot nigga.
With no trial. You know, free him, man.
Yes.
And
it took me a while to be on your side because I was like, this nigga. But then I was like, you know what? Yeah. Nah, he's in there. And his record label even turned his back on it. I wouldn't sing another motherfucking note or rap another motherfucking thing for them. Fuck them.
They haven't given that dude a preliminary hearing or nothing?
Nothing.
I think he's gotten a couple of hearings about his getting his bail, like, lowered. And each time it's just like, nope. And then they send him right back to jail.
Right.
And his company won't pay the bail, even though he made them all that goddamn money off hot niggas.
Right.
Yeah, that's that bullshit.
Yep. That's why you don't sign to the label that screwed TLC, son.
Come on now.
I know he's sitting in jail thinking about, what about your friends?
Right.
But
that shit on repeat.
But this show is sponsored, okay? It's actually double sponsored today. Of course, it's sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. Our new audio play album, Sunspot and Ratchetness, is out on iTunes. What are you waiting for? You need to go get it so you can play it on the road trip to visit your family for Thanksgiving. It's a fun album full of skits and jokes. You guys like that, don't you? We do a whole lot of acting, a lot of voice acting. Play a lot of characters. There's 9 different hilarious audio plays on it, and it's all on iTunes. It's also on Amazon, and if you get it on Amazon, they get a little something back, you know, a little more. So, you know, I'm not saying not to go to iTunes, but I'm just saying. But yeah, you just need to search Sunspot and Ratchetness, or you can search our names, Rod Morrow and Karen Morrow, on iTunes, and it'll come up. And if you get it, leave it a little review. Also, also, if you don't get it, leave it a little review, a little 5-star review. Never hurt nobody. Help them out. Mm-hmm. And, we appreciate everybody that does that. Also, tis the season for giving, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's about that time, Bevel wants to offer you a special deal just to try out Bevel and their new, and their shaving system. You can get your first month for free. Yes, free. Absolutely free. By using the code TBGWT free. Okay. Now, this will be in the show notes. And I don't mess this up for yourself. Okay. Don't sleep. This offer is only good for the first 300 people, along with a limited time holiday pricing throughout the end of the year. New customers and memberships only. So if you've been wanting to try Bevel, now is the time.
I clear.
Go to get Bevel. Say that again, Mr. Spam.
I said this bald haired here, brought to you by Bevel.
Brought to you by Bevel. Look at that.
You by Bevel.
Don't tell me what Bevel won't do. Go to getbevel.com today and get your first month free with code TBGWT free. Okay? You need to do this. Now, I don't know if the case matters, like lower and uppercase, but the way they gave us the code is TBGWT is lowercase, and free is all caps, like TBGWT. Free! That's how you want it. Okay? So make sure you guys get it, man, because, like I said, only 300 people can get this, and when it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone, it's gone.
But you know what's never gone? Your razor bumps on your face if you don't have Bevel, so think about it. Treat yourself and treat your uncles and your grandfathers and your fathers
and your cousins and your nephews.
Be the nephew that they do want to save that extra piece of pecan pie for, or pumpkin pie or chocolate cake. I don't know how y'all get down banana pudding in our house, but be the person that they stash a little something away for when they like, come on back here. Come on back here, boy. You know, I got the crown in the bag for us.
For us.
You know, nephew, you know what I'm saying? Put his arm around you. Nephew, come on out here to the trunk and get some of this crown with me, and we're gonna go in and watch this Cowboy game and be lit. Come on. All right, guys. also, before we get into The Walking Dead, I wanted to do this up front because it's kind of important, but apparently cops are still out here killing black people.
Oh yeah, man, I saw that shit.
Yeah, it's
what happened?
It's going around, Karen. It's going down, or it's going around, it's going down. Black people are getting shot in the motherfucking streets. And it's all bad. I guess first of all, Minnesota, it's so bad in, Minnesota, the actual, have y'all seen the interview with the NAACP leader?
Mm-mm.
Okay, hold on. I gotta actually play this. In Minnesota, 2 men have been arrested in connection with the shootings that occurred to at least 5 people who were protesting the killing of Jamar Clark. CNN, of course, went and had the local NAACP leader on, and they interviewed her.
Police say they are still looking for more suspects, but with me now is the communications chair of the Minneapolis NAACP. She is Raisha Williams. Ms. Williams, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Brooke.
So what I'm hearing now, not just one arrest here, but 2. Tell me, is that what you're hearing? And what do you know about these individuals who are in custody?
Right. So we're hearing two at this time, but we don't necessarily trust that. We know that the police department is behind this. This is our personal belief receiving witnesses' accounts. Me personally being on the ground, Bob Crow, Minneapolis Department union head, has thrown Riddick
out
there.
Wait. Forgive me. I have to interrupt you. I know there's a delay here in Paris, but you said you believe the police department is behind what?
We believe the police department is facilitating the injustice bullying to the protesters, and we also believe that they are involved in this shooting. We know from blackboards and from chat rooms and also videos that we have posted on our website that police that are from different counties, police from different districts, have come down to entice the protesters, have come down to bully
those
the protesters.
Those are, I understand you are there in Minneapolis and you know much more about this, but those are serious allegations you are just laying down on national television.
And we are standing behind it. We do not back down from these allegations. Bob Crow.
Where is your evidence that they were involved in the shooting?
So we know that when the incident happened, police were lurking over the top of the precinct. Immediately once the victims were shot, protesters ran to the door of the precinct and they knocked on the door for help for ambulance. The police came out and one officer said, "This is what you've been wanting," and shut the door on us. It took 15 minutes for the police to even arrive, and shortly after that, they began to mace the crowd. So if you are not a part of the problem, if this is not something that you're trying to cover up, why would you not attend to victims that pay for your salaries?
But do you have concrete evidence? I understand what you're telling me you heard when the door was open at the police precinct, but what is your concrete evidence of this?
We have concrete evidence. We have video footage. Go to our website of an undercover cop getting into an unmarked car. We have the license plate. We've been running it. They have been coming down to our facility, to the precinct, where we have our city tent and our protesters, and they have been trying to entice us the whole time. So we believe, and we stand behind our belief, that the Minneapolis Police Department are not protecting us, and therefore they stand with racist white supremacists who want to destroy a peaceful movement. All over the country, when things like this have happened, riots have broken out. In Minneapolis, we have not rioted. We have not burnt anything. We have not looted. Even after we have been shot at and injured by white supremacists and the police did nothing but come on the scene and begin to mace our protesters, we still have not taken the streets angry. We're a peaceful group of all nationalities, all religions, and all different points of views, but we all come together to stand in one righteous truth. Want justice for Jamar.
I understand. We're going to wait for concrete evidence. We're going to wait for this police press conference from Minneapolis. Raisha Williams, thank you so much for your time from the NAACP.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Keep in mind, Minneapolis is where Pointergate happened, which is one of the most racist news stories we've ever covered. It's the story where there was a woman, a mayor, who was getting out trying to get the black vote, and she had some volunteers with her and stuff, and they took a picture with a young black gentleman, and he was just pointing at her like, you know how we, when you take a picture you point at the other person like, oh shit, you the man, you, or you the man, you the woman, whatever. The police said that was gang signs.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, when you get down to the root of it, it was mostly about the fact that the police did not like that she was putting the police officer's safety at risk, according to them, by taking a picture with this man and by supporting, getting out this black vote.
And the amazing part is studies and statistics show that as far as police officers' killings this year, they actually are down.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
They're down. So it's amazing how, you know, police officers act like they're dying at this astronomical rate when it's actually one of the safer jobs. Not, you can get killed being a police officer, but when you list jobs, it's not like your top two or three positions where you actually die at your job.
Well, this mayor was behind this new initiative to get the police to wear body cameras in Minneapolis.
That's why they had a problem with
her. And all of a sudden, hours before the pilot program was due to launch, this phony story comes out that she's hanging out with gangsters and shit. The sad part to me is the people who believe this shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the people who buy this shit, eat this shit up, hook, line, and sinker, because of their either fear or just downright hatred of black people. But that, you know, that's the scary part to me, is the people who are sitting around like, yeah, I mean, they were pointing fingers. Meanwhile, there's like dozens of pictures of her just doing the finger point with your friends and people, you know, people taking pictures together. They do that all the time. And no one says gang signs, but, you know, right. Enough people jump behind this one.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find interesting is that when that, who's at the NAACP president there,
mm-hmm.
She talked about the police just pretty much hanging back and letting shit happen. I remember on Fox News, not even a month ago, where they had that the sheriff from Milwaukee County, David Clark.
Yep.
Talking about, we need to just stand to the side and let them, you know, and let the public deal with the Black Lives Matter movement or whatever. And if they do have any instances of violence that happens against them, then it's well deserved. Right. And so for this to happen and for that particular allegation to come out is like, that's some scary shit, man.
Right.
That's some scary shit.
And I absolutely believe her.
I do too.
You know what I mean? Like when you hear shit like I don't think, like, it was so funny listening to the white reporter be like, well, I mean, you do realize this is a very serious, yes, I do. You know what else is serious? Those fucking bullets.
Right.
Like, I was there and I saw what fucking happened. Right. And I'm telling you, as a person who was there on the ground, you know, this is exactly how the cops treated us. These are the suspicious things that we saw during that time. And then CNN is just like, yeah, well, I mean, can we really believe that? I mean, we got a delay all the way here from Paris, you know, because we need to talk about some terrorism. Well, how about the terrorist that shot 5 black people last night, or 5 Black Lives Matter supporters last night? What about those terrorists? You know what I mean? Like, that's terrorism. What, they don't count as terrorists because they're not from Syria? Because they just look like me and you and they're, or not me and you, but you know, they look like America. To a lot of people in their minds, what they consider to be America is that those people don't shoot up. And not to mention the fucking, I forget the name of the organization, but the group that's all about, gun rights and not NRA, but that group of police officers who pretend, what'd you say?
Freedom Fighters?
No, they're not the Freedom Fighters.
I think it's the United Gun Owners of America, that group.
Nah. These dudes, the Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers, those guys who hide behind gun rights, even though we know that that's not really what they're about, because they never show up. They say we don't like the overreach of government, and we think American citizens should be armed and prepared to fight back, blah, blah, blah. But when they show up to places like Ferguson, they stand on the side with the police.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Many of these guys are police officers in other jurisdictions driving up to Ferguson.
Right.
So they can point guns at minorities. But yet they want to hide behind the NRA shit. Like, nah, we just hear about gun ownership. Well, then why don't you help your fellow citizens of America arm themselves? Because obviously their neighborhoods are under siege from these cops. But nah, y'all don't do that, right? That's a little different. You didn't picture those guys having guns. You pictured some other shit in your mind when you think about everybody owning guns. You think about shooting niggas. You don't really think about the other way around. So it's kind of like, it's not a stretch for me to believe the police would be involved in a shooting like this just because of that. You know what I mean?
That and the right that when it comes to history, people are very dumb and ignorant. The same thing happened to the protesters, Martin Luther King, and all these people that they want to put on a pedestal when it's, hey, this is the way you need to act. Guess what? He got shot too in the quote unquote this peaceful, nonviolent thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they shot at him too. People came and rioted the crowds and shit like that, also scared and terrorized. The same thing is happening.
Yeah, it's so crazy too, because you know the police were just all over them. Crap. Watching every move, riot shields and shit. Then all of a sudden the shooting happens. The police were nowhere around during the shooting.
Right.
Yeah, it seems coordinated. And I don't think it's above anybody to be fucking suspicious.
Right.
You know, and she was there. So I'm going to take her word for it.
Yeah. You know, the only time I ever see the Oath Keepers actually on the other side of police or law enforcement was
Clive and Bundy. Yep, supporting Clive and Bundy.
And it was at Vice did a real good piece on that, about that standoff that they had with Clive and Bundy out in Nevada, where, you know, they had snipers set up against the fucking FBI, right. ATF, the Department of Agriculture. They had, like, sharpshooters set up with their guns drawn on law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And they took that as a victory that they were able to, like, have the government back down in that particular situation. That's the only time you've ever seen the Oath Keepers draw up arms against law enforcement.
Yep.
That's it.
That's, you know, and that dude was wrong as fuck. Clive and Bundy didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. He was just trying to get out of what he owed America.
Come on now.
Legally, the agreement he walked into knowing, and he didn't want his business to pay taxes for what he was making money off of. Fuck him and fuck the Oath Keepers for that shit.
And another thing too, before you move on, bro, I really want to say fuck you to these dudes. I've been seeing a lot of these motherfuckers like saying shit like the Black Lives Matter movement isn't a real movement.
Right.
Because they're not putting their lives on the line the same way Malcolm and Martin and Fred Hampton and these other people have done. Listen, dude, five people got shot yesterday fighting for your dumb ass.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Five people. And we got this case now in Chicago where the officer was just indicted on murder charges.
Oh yeah, I'm about to get into that one too. But go ahead, you got it.
Yeah, but they're indicting him on murder charges because basically they wanted to get out in front of this shit before the videotape came out.
Right.
So they indicted him. And people are acting as if the pressure that is put on by the Black Lives Matter movement, the attention and the pressure that the Black Lives Matter movement brings isn't anything. Like, everybody keeps talking about they're just begging and we just whining and all. Like, no, we're bringing attention to this shit, and things are happening every day whether you choose to acknowledge it or not.
Right.
Exactly, man. It, like, that preemptive move is all, like, that's something that we couldn't call a given. Like, before now, it's like, yeah, the video came out, so? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we shot that motherfucker in the street. Okay, what? So what's the problem? You know, and now they're just like, okay, somebody got to take this fall. We killed a nigga, okay? Listen, John, we don't mean this. We're not saying we're not supporting you, but
don't take this personal.
Turn around. You have the right to remain silent. Put on these cuffs. Hey, it's crazy to me too. Right. You will remain innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a video shows 4chan white supremacists bringing gun to Minneapolis protest days before the shooting. Wow. On Thursday night, 4 days before unnamed gunmen shot five people at a Black Lives Matter protest in Minneapolis, video service of two men driving toward ongoing demonstrations around the police shooting of Jamar Clark, one of them carrying what appears to be a handgun. We're going to see what these fucking dindas are up to. I guess that's, let me guess, racial epithet. One of the men says near the beginning of the video, and yes, we are locked and loaded. Black Lives Matter Minneapolis posted video to Facebook on Friday after a supporter noticed it on live stream and sent it to the organization. A spokesperson told me via email the original live stream upload appears to have since been deleted. The men in the video, who identify themselves by the aliases Saiga Marine and Black Powder Ranger,
We got deleted. I wonder why.
Yeah, have not been connected to Monday evening shooting. So these are just some other motherfuckers.
Right.
So far, Miski Noor, a Black Lives Matter spokeswoman, told the Minneapolis Star Tribune that the shooters were a group of white supremacists, and police said they are seeking three white men as suspects. One of those suspects, an unnamed 23-year-old white male, was arrested this afternoon in Bloomington. Police update stated via Twitter. A second suspect, an unnamed 32-year-old Hispanic male, was arrested in South Minneapolis this afternoon. Police are still searching for additional suspects. These guys identify themselves, the two dudes in the video identify themselves as white supremacists, if not explicitly so, after repeated references to dindus or racial slur for black people. Saiga Marine signs off by pointing to the camera and saying, "Stay white." The men also make apparent references to /Paul, which is 4chan's politically incorrect message board where the users discuss world news or politics with white far right white nationalist bent. Saiga Marine and Black Powder Ranger can also be seen at the scene of Thursday's protest in an activist shot video that was originally broadcast on live stream. At one point, the two men approached the camera person posing as demonstrators and are interviewed. All these folks here should get the justice and peace that they deserve. We need to reach out to our communities, especially our melanin enriched communities. Black Powder Ranger says with apparent sarcasm, the men are clearly trying to troll their interviewer, but they are not violent and neither is visibly carrying a weapon. On slash Paul and slash K, 4chan's message board for firearm enthusiasts, users have speculated in hours since Monday's shooting at the gunman with fellow 4chaners. One anonymous post read, 4chan is in the news again, bunch of Paul slash Lax plus slash K Mandos, okay. In the Guy Fawkes mask just shot up a bunch of Black Lives Matter protests. Apparently Black Lives Matter protesters tried to assault them. The Anons ran off and then Black Lives Matter protesters chased after them. The commando shot them. Yeah, okay. So that's what happened, right?
I don't believe that at all.
Five Black Lives Matter supporters are confirmed in the hospital. Media hasn't mentioned 4chan by name yet, but these guys on the slash poll a few days ago telling everyone how they were trolling Black Lives Matter by attending their protests and open carrying. So, yeah, another one thread expresses similar sentiment. Slash K, the gun enthusiast people, visit Black Lives Matter protests. Angry niggers swarm them. They violently hold off the Zerg rush. I guess this is another one. As their backs hit the wall, the K's reveal their secret weapon. Shots fired. Nogs go down. Nogs claim it was coordinated attack by the police and white supremacists. Yeah, so it's just a lot of, you know, angry racial hatred, and it's been fostered on message boards. Here's what's funny. When cops get shot, Fox News, CNN, Don Lemon, all these people, they have no problem speculating if Black Lives Matter is getting cops shot. And they go so far as to have people on that are affiliated with black freedom movements and want them to renounce cops being shot.
Mm-hmm. It's a war on cops.
So are they gonna take responsibility for these Black Lives Matter people being shot?
No.
Are they gonna find Donald Trump and make him renounce the shooting of these people? He just had a rally where he condoned his supporters beating up a man who said, yeah, Black Lives Matter. Said the man was behaving disgusting for being in there saying Black Lives Matter. That's a disgusting thing to him. So it's very telling, man. Like, some days you just feel like you go outside and you think everything's in black and white and you're just gonna see colored water fountains and fucking dogs.
Ain't that the truth?
You know? Like, some days you just feel like that. You're like, man, I better not sit at the front of the counter. Who knows what the fuck's gonna happen?
Man, let me tell you, every day I go to work, I try to avoid so many conversations about some of the shit that's going on and like, some of these current event issues, man. They'll be sitting in the back of the trucks talking shit. And I'm like, you know what? Let me go to this other truck and just get on my phone because I'm gonna get upset. And I'm not going to like you motherfuckers no more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In that Chicago police officer who shot a teen 16 times, where witnesses said he shot the teen twice while he was standing. And once the teen hit the ground, he shot him 14 more times.
Goddamn.
Mm-hmm. Officer Jason Van Dyke was formally charged Tuesday with the murder of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. It's the first time a Chicago officer has been charged with first-degree murder for an on-duty shooting in almost 35 years. But it's not the first time authorities have investigated Van Dyke, who was reportedly the subject of at least 18 civilian complaints, none of which resulted in disciplinary action.
God damn.
Yeah, he was right every time, guys.
That's usually how that works. It's just like Officer Menendez here in Michigan, in Inkster, who just got found guilty of beating Floyd Dent.
Yep.
RoboCop.
Yep. But
nickname, RoboCop. They just convicted him. Mm-hmm. He had multiple complaints against him for years that went on with impunity until that video came out of him beating that man in the head and planting drugs in that man's car.
Coincidentally, he was right every time until there was video. Isn't that a coincidence? This every single time he was right. So yeah, the incident reportedly began October. Wait, which could explain why Van Dyke wasn't indicted until the autopsy was made public amidst reports of a graphic dash cam video described by one witness as an execution. The incident occurred, October 20th, 2014, when Van Dyke responded to a call about an armed man in Burger King parking lot, it ended 16 shots later with McDonald lying dead on the ground. The official police story that Van Dyke fired after McDonald, who had PCP in his system, lunged at him with a knife, quickly fell apart.
Right, because they can test for that shit. I hope you know that, right?
Well, hey, this nigga was on PCP, like Chappelle said. Autopsy reports, results show that McDonald had been hit not once, as initial reports claim, but 16 times in the head, neck, torso, back, arms, and groin, and legs. Ooh. The graphic video, which was viewed by attorneys for the McDonald family, reportedly shows McDonald was walking away when Van Dyke began firing. Van Dyke is said to continue shooting at McDonald even as the teenager fell to the ground in fetal position. Attorneys for the family provided this description. He is walking. When the officer begins shooting, the first shot spins McDonald around. The officer continues to fire from a distance of about 12 to 15 feet. McDonald falls. The only movement is the puffs of smoke coming from the teen's torso and his head. The police officer comes into view and kicks the knife out of the boy's right hand. The video itself has been the subject of much litigation after the AP and a freelance journalist named Brandon Smith filed two separate Freedom of Information Act requests. A Cook County judge finally ordered his release last week over vehement protests from the Chicago Police Department.
Of course.
Span know about them. Which argued that making the video public would hamper ongoing investigations. What ongoing investigations? You mean the cover up of this crime okay. The court imposed deadline for the video's release is tomorrow. A lawyer for Van Dyke says his client feared for his life during the encounter and is scared to death. The video's release will lead to violence against himself, his wife, and their two children. The city has already settled with McDonald's family for $5 million. Like I said, didn't get indicted until that judge said, yeah, y'all got to show the video. Hey, man, this ain't personal, but you're under arrest.
You got to go.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, you're not a nigga, but we're going to treat you like one today. You're under arrest, sir. You got to go.
Yeah, a Burger King manager says the Chicago cops deleted surveillance video of the officer killing the teen.
Holy shit!
Mm-hmm. There was surveillance footage of the fatal encounter between Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke and a teenage suspect in the parking lot of a Burger King until cops came and a substantial portion of the video mysteriously vanished, a restaurant manager said. Hey, man, what about them good cops, though? You know, the good ones that when they fellow cop murder somebody, they go to Burger King and erase the footage of it. You know, the ones that we're supposed to be rooting for.
Why they ain't out here, like, denouncing all of this shit?
Right.
Where's the cop that gets on CNN and says, you know what, we don't condone these actions of the Chicago police. This isn't reflective of all police officers across the nation. We don't get that at all. We don't get anybody to argue that on television at all.
Mm-hmm. You know what's amazing is, I mean, this happened October 20th, 2014.
This happened last year?
Yeah. Last year. They've been covering this up for a year.
Holy shit.
Over a year. And the thing is, this stuff had to been known. Like,
right.
This manager probably was scared for a year.
Of course.
Probably still scared. Probably like, yo, man, I hope nobody kills me for doing my fucking duty as a citizen and being like, yo, these motherfuckers covered up a murder.
Right.
On Tuesday, Van Dyke was indicted. Well, we know that part.
That manager quit his job. Everybody gonna know what? Y'all gonna be flipping the whoppers on y'all own. I'm out.
Yeah. After the shooting, according to Jay Darshane, the district manager for Burger King, 4 to 5 police officers wearing blue and white shirts entered the restaurant, asked to view the video and were given the password to the equipment. 3 hours later, they left, he said. The next day, when an investigator from the Independent Police Review Authority asked to view the security footage, it was discovered that the 86 minutes of video was missing.
Holy shit. Oh, they knew that man was coming.
Yeah. What were those officers' names? Is that the ongoing uniform. Investigation? Is that the ongoing investigation that will be compromised from the video or no? Or is it the ongoing cover up?
86 minutes. Oh, it's almost a fucking hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So long enough to watch a movie.
Right.
And lastly, before we get into the Walking Dead review, shout out to all the white people that only listen to this one episode a week. Getting this blackness. Mm-hmm. I know y'all be turning it off. Well, that's enough of that.
Click.
The man beaten and choked at a Donald Trump rally tells his story. When activist Mercutio Southall Jr. was curled up on the ground being kicked and punched by Donald Trump supporters at a campaign rally in Birmingham, Alabama, he thought, I can't die today. I've got shit to do. I have little kids. Fuck these people.
Black.
Realest interview ever. For the record, let me just say, because I said this so early in the process, and I really don't think it was grasped then, and hopefully it'll be grasped now. This is why none of this Donald Trump shit is cute to me.
Right.
It never fucking was.
Mm-mm.
You've never seen me ha 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 a Donald Trump article. We don't come on here and do Donald Trump impressions and shit. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Shout out to JL. He does a great one. But I don't find anything remotely funny about this guy. It's very dangerous to me. The fact that this dude is leading the vote in one of the parties at all is sad. It really says a statement about America, because the only thing he's running on is ignorance and bigotry.
Right.
And the fact that liberal white people, middle of the road white people who claim to be moderate Republicans, co-sign this piece of shit is infuriating to me, because while it's trivial to you, and it's a joke to you, it's my fucking life on the line with him rallying up these motherfucking racists and assholes and xenophobes over bullshit. You know, the guy has zero integrity. It's not like he believes in this bullshit.
Come on now.
And you think it's cute. He's hosting SNL because they think it's cute. You know, SNL, which probably most of the actors and writers and shit there would claim to be some form of a liberal person.
Right.
But nah, they think it's fucking, it's hilarious, because they get to opt out of this shit. They don't get offended when he talks bad about Latino people. They don't get offended when he says stuff about the Black Lives Matter people. They don't get offended when this black man is beaten at his rally and he says that it's okay. Like, y'all don't get offended by that, because you can opt out of it because you have privilege. But I don't opt out of being a black man ever. There's no opt out button for me. So when I see this man get beat, I'm just like, that's the culmination of a year of y'all fucking hyping this man up and his supporters like it's cute. Cause y'all were quote unquote bored with the Democratic people, and you were bored with Jeb Bush. Well, your boredom is killing people. Fuck that. Anyway.
Those people, I thought it was early on with Donald Trump. I didn't expect this motherfucker to last this long. I really felt like his candidacy in and of itself was a joke of the process. Mm. And to see this dude continuously being the number one polled candidate for the Republican Party and continuing to see this guy draw thousands and thousands of people who used to be mad that Barack Obama was considered a celebrity.
Right.
Right.
Amazing.
Mad about that. And now trumpeting that as if that's a qualifying trait for president. Ah, man.
Right. A guy that has no political experience. Remember when they were saying Barack Obama's lack of political experience was going to fuck the country up?
Americans are dumb.
Right. Yeah. Now it's okay. Yeah. Now it's okay, man. Just, it's some scary shit, man. And to see people that supposedly are well-meaning people that claim to be allies, but they're just sitting around like, well, he's the most interesting person, I'd rather have him in the room than anybody else, at least he's gonna say something interesting. Hillary and Bernie, they're not gonna say anything. Fuck you. Fuck that. What are you, serious? It's about being entertained, and go watch fucking Star Search. That's right, find the fucking internet YouTube videos of Star Search, because it's not on anymore, TV, and Land. watch The Voice.
See Beyonce and Usher and all of them on that old shit.
Right, yeah. So the single father of Free, who was raised in the civil rights cradle of Selma, Alabama, told Think Progress that he decided to go to Trump's event and with two friends in order to speak out against the front runner's candidate's racist rhetoric. The things that he's been saying about black people, Latino people, immigrants, refugees, we felt it was very disrespectful. By the way, shout out to this brother for not just going, the stuff you've been saying about black people, but being like, no,
brown people,
everybody,
the whole group, non-whites,
I'm in here for everybody. Because he had a Black Lives Matter shirt on, and I know people just like, see, here they go with that. But he's talking about all of that sism. Mm-hmm. This is a city where some of the biggest battles of the civil rights movement happened, where four little girls got bombed up. So we already, I love the way he talks. So we aren't accepting of anything like that kind of talk down here. I mean, this man came to our city a couple of weeks before Christmas saying we should not let in Middle Eastern refugees. If I'm not mistaken, I think Jesus was a Middle Eastern refugee. So we were not going to stand idly by and see the rise of the next Hitler. We knew we had to stand for something. Southall said he felt unwelcome as soon as he arrived at the event. When Trump supporters physically recoiled from him and his friends, there was like a 6 feet space on either side of us, he said. The message was, this was not our town, this was not our place.
Of course.
The three tried to get close to the stage so they could have a chance to ask Trump a question. Before the event started, Southall's friend began live streaming himself, saying to his camera, "We want to show Trump he's not coming here. He's not welcome here." Upon hearing that, a nearby man knocked the phone out of his hand, prompted Southall to come to his friend's defense. The three started chanting "Black Lives Matter." What happened next was captured on video by a CNN reporter. A crowd of Trump supporters converging on Southall, punching, kicking, and choking him while chanting "All Lives Matter." Hold on, Karen. Let me play this. These are the same motherfuckers that voted for Sarah Palin.
Right, they need to be arrested for assault.
It was just a sea of white faces, he told Think Progress. A lady kicked me in the stomach, a man kicked me in the chest. They called me nigger, monkey, and they shouted "All Lives Matter" while they were kicking and punching me. So for all the people who are still confused at this point, they proved what "All Lives Matter" meant. It means "shut up, nigger."
Right.
That's it. That's the only time it ever even gets brought up.
Yep.
Tell black people to shut the fuck up.
Kid gets shot, I don't see no chance of "All Lives Matter," no "All Lives Matter" protests, no "All Lives Matter" marches.
Right. And they have been shot over some ridiculous shit and by the police officers, but I don't see y'all out there.
Only people I ever see bringing attention to it are the black Lives Matter people.
The same black folks.
Like, damn, police killing white kids. Like, on Sunday, the morning after the Trump rally, Trump told host of Fox and Friends that Southall deserved what he got. Maybe he should have been roughed up. It was disgusting what he was doing. This is a very obnoxious guy, a troublemaker, looking for to make trouble.
And nobody's holding him accountable for this bullshit.
Local police seem to agree, using language nearly identical to how Jim Crow era Birmingham police chief Bull Connor described Martin Luther King Jr. Police spokesperson Lieutenant Sean Edwards told CNN, "I would be a little curious with Mercutio Southall. He has been an agitator from day one. Mercutio is always the agitator." Mm-hmm. So, okay. I don't know. So what we doing? All right. Reporters also brought up the incident with Robert Kiger, the leader of the pro-Trump super PAC Citizens for Restoring the USA. Kiger, told CNN that the Black Lives Matter movement is a farce. Yeah, tell the five people that got shot that.
Come on now. Them bullets is real.
All right. What's farcical about that? They don't really have a cause they're trying to bring to the forefront. And if they did, they go to Baltimore or Chicago. What about the kids in Chicago? Remember when that small penis loser that called up here said that shit? Like, what about black on black crime? When the CNN anchor challenged him, saying, "So they don't have the right to protest at a Trump rally," Kiger responded, "No, they don't really. Look, I wouldn't go into a black church and start screaming 'White Lives Matter.'" Setting aside the implication that a Trump rally is a white space analogous to a black church.
Right.
Southall has not confined his demonstrations to political rallies. The former police academy student and Cub Scout Master was arrested last year during a Black Lives Matter demonstration at a local Walmart. He was tasered and arrested this summer while protesting the death of 18-year-old Kendra Chapman in police custody in the Birmingham suburb of Homewood. A Black Panther movement admirer and firm believer in armed self-defense, Southall has also been arrested for openly carrying guns he legally owns.
Holy shit. I mean, and I will say this, and I know you own guns, Mr. Spam, but I'm gonna tell you this. The right to bear arms was never meant for our black asses. It was just never meant for us. And you know, it just happened. We got rights and freedoms that they didn't expect us to have.
Yeah, I'm not saying you shouldn't own it, but I'm saying they definitely don't believe you should. You know what I'm saying?
We weren't on the list.
It's a revolutionary act for a black person to arm themselves.
Right.
I will say this, and I've said this many times, even as a gun owner and someone who carries a gun every day, I do not walk the streets open carrying for any reason at all.
Right.
And part of that reason is because, one, I believe it just draws way too much attention to yourself.
Right.
And then, two, imagine me walking around the burbs where I live now with an AR-15 strapped to my back.
Right.
It is not going to go down in much the same way that it goes down on YouTube for a lot of these white guys who are looking to agitate the police. It's right. just not going to go down that way for me.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I, like, with open carry, I've never been a fan of. I just haven't. If I can carry my gun, I'll carry it and nobody needs to know.
Yep.
That's just how I roll.
Yeah. Cause like, you're not going to be on YouTube like, now see, I am legally on the south side of the property. And in this county, if you stand on the south side, I mean, what are you going to do, sissy?
I get enough flack for just having tinted windows on my car. I'm not just going
to. You ain't going to crank it up even more.
Yeah, those videos are so ridiculous because the person is like, well, what are you going to do, little bitch cop? Huh, little bitch boy? And the cops be like, sir, if you just calm down. I'm not going to calm down. Okay? I got my AR-15 and I will shoot it if I want to.
Right.
Don't police be exercising so much patience with those dudes that they will not exercise with me.
Right.
And I know that going in.
He basically just gave his rundown, man. He said, you know, he's had so many run-ins with the police and shit in the past. And he's fighting out here, fighting for your freedom and mine,
mm-hmm.
with his quote unquote fake movement where he got beat up for it.
Come on now.
You know, it's not a real movement.
His life on the line.
All right. Now you can get some Walking Dead. All right, guys, you had to get this system first.
Oh yeah, and everybody got 100.
Oh yeah, 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 100 for me. All right. Yeah, that's right, guys. Episode 7 of season 6 of The Walking Dead, called Heads Up, directed by David Boyd, written by Channing Powell. And I mean, it got actually the looks like third highest rating of the season. Huh, that's interesting. yeah, everybody swear they gave up on the show. This motherfucking ratings keep going.
Yeah, they do.
This is you know, the episode where we get back to Alexandria, see how they're coping with the zombie horde outside, you know, get to find out what's going on with Glenn, which is a huge thing that everybody was looking out for.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to find out what's going on with Enid. I will ask you first, Karen, as usual. What'd you think about this episode in general?
I loved it. I go into some of my other opinions later. I think some things was a size, but overall, I still loved it.
All right. Mr. Span, what'd you think about this episode?
I didn't quite love it, but I did like it. There was some shit that I thought was a little shaky, too. But, yeah, it was a good episode.
All right. And for me, now that I've watched it twice, I love this episode. It might be my favorite episode of the season. I have to think about it a little bit more because, you know, the first three episodes got off with a bang.
Yeah, they did.
But this might be my favorite episode for how much it fucked with the audience. Like, yeah. I have never seen so much rage.
Yeah, they're very mad.
And I've never felt so smart.
I was pissed, man.
I called it weeks ago. I said it doesn't matter how this shit turns out. people about to be mad. And I've turned their rage into my joy. I know people shitting on this show right now, and I'm like, fuck it, y'all didn't care then, don't care now.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Hot last night. And, well, was it? Not last night. Night before last.
And one thing I do appreciate it is they was like, y'all been begging fucking 5 weeks. Fuck it. We not going to wait the last 5 minutes. We're going to show you now and let you be mad the rest of the motherfucking show. And I appreciate that because it's funny. My timeline split up into two camps, the same two camps. I hadn't been arguing with anybody because I was like, I'm cool with either way it went. Mm-hmm. But some people was like, I told y'all he was alive. And other people was like, I told y'all I'm mad he fucking is
Man,
alive.
I saw people quit. The show live.
Yeah.
I saw people like straight up, I fuck this show, I'm out. I saw live. It. Oh, it's so good. Oh, I wish this had happened every day. I wish every show made people feel this strongly.
Right, their emotions was heavy.
Woo, I ain't seen nothing like this as the Sands of Rape episode of Game of Thrones.
Right, because people was upset.
Like, I saw so many think pieces that, you know, they blew it. It doesn't matter how. I was like, oh, shit.
Them think pieces.
They got the critics mad. Ooh. So, all right, we'll do our scene breakdown as we do.
Yeah.
And I'll try to, you know, go through it a little faster than normal. We come to, the episode in the same place that we left, I want to say 3 episodes ago now. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was episode, Thank You.
Yep.
And that was episode 4. So we start episode 7 with Thank You, Nicholas and Glenn standing on top of the, trash can. Nicholas shooting himself in the head, killing himself, falling, and Glenn trying to save him. I don't know why. Trying to grab this brain dead man. And he falls, and Nicholas is on top of him, and he's pinned down. Except this time, the camera angle is a little different.
Yes, it is.
The way they fell looks a little different to me. And it seems that somehow the way they fell, Glenn's head is very, very close to being under the dumpster.
Right.
Where he just crawls to safety as the zombies only eat Nicholas, who was on top of him, and don't bite Glenn not even once. Not a scratch.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
That shit was comical.
Well, what I think is, I mean, and I want to say, even the blocking for the scene was different. Like, the way that they shot the scene the first time, it was the exact opposite. They landed differently.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was different, okay? Which, yep. You know, which I thought could happen. You know, I think it's the cheapest way out possible, but, that, you know, it happened, right? So, my thing is, I think that he survived because zombies are racist.
Ah, they don't want no Chinese.
Think about it.
No egg rolls.
You're right. It could be that simple. They don't want to eat an Asian guy.
Right.
So they will eat that tasty, delicious, white male privileged meat first.
Right. Because it lasts longer. They're like, nope. I remember when I was alive, I had the number 2. I was hungry 20 minutes later.
Y'all think Nicholas tastes like Fettuccine Alfredo?
He might. You know, he might taste like mac and cheese.
Of course. Gouda.
Right. We don't know what he tastes, what's inside of white people. You know, it might be the cheese. But they ate the fuck out of Nicholas and was just like, we'll get to the Asian later. And Glenn slid under a trash bin, the trash bin dumpster.
Yeah, he was like, this food got to go. I will not be your takeout.
All right. So Glenn survived for, it seemed to be maybe 24 hours underneath that thing because they did the fast forward kind of like, you know, montage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as he was underneath the dumpster, the zombies started turning one by one and walking away.
Okay.
And I think that a can rolled. And I think, I didn't know at the time, but I think Enith may have done that, like tossed something out there.
Yeah, see, I thought about that. That makes no fucking sense. Here's why. Unless it's going to come out later, she absolutely saw Glenn and knew he was under there. How the hell would she know? And why would she fuck with those zombies in that way?
Well, then I have a question. How did she know to throw the bottle down there?
Yeah, well, I don't know. She could have been sitting on the roof.
Yeah, wasn't it after he came out?
Yeah, that was after he came out and she saw him.
Because here was my beef about that entire scene. This is why I was so upset, right? Like, even with the can, like, as, you know, from the time where Glenn came, you know, when him and Nicholas fell, and everybody kept talking about this, even then, that Nick fell on top of Glenn. And I took screenshots of that scene. I'm like, where the fuck is Nick? Mm-hmm. I don't see Nick. Where the hell is he? Right? And Glenn's doing all this crying, all this yelling. I'm like, nobody heard, you know, we know the zombies are attracted to the sound. Nobody hears this motherfucker crying. Nobody's grabbed this motherfucker's leg or arm, nothing. And he just slides up under the garbage can. I just thought it was like complete BS. But like, all right, I'll roll with it. I'll roll with it for right now.
Right.
The fact that the can was able to distract all those walkers, and yet they couldn't be attracted to or decipher between Glenn yelling. Right. Was something that I thought was a bit odd. I was like, okay, whatever.
Right, the can attracted him, but not a grown ass whole entire man sliding underneath the trash.
Them Oreos with Ringos got their attention. Pinto beans, black eyed peas, whatever the hell, peaches, whatever the hell was in that can.
And I believe she saw him because she was camping out in that building. I don't think she saved him on purpose. Like, now maybe she was trying to clear those zombies out so she could camp in that building, but that doesn't really make sense either.
So she could come down possibly.
Yeah, so but that's still it's a huge sight for what we know of zombies, Karen, is that wait a day and then all the walkers will be cleared out.
I'm not arguing with you on that point.
Yeah, that's the most. That would be I'm just saying it would be a huge size, is what I'm saying. Okay, like.
Zombies got some good ass here, and it's 100 of us, but I hear a can of corn roll.
Yeah, I don't think a huge herd. I mean, they used fireworks to move that herd. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a can rolls by, and then the zombies are like, all right, we're out. Let's go. I gotta leave too. Not to mention like the other zombies are making noise. Like, I don't know, man. It's a huge size. But huge size or not, that's what happened.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and before y'all even write in, it's some bullshit.
Oh yeah, we know.
Yeah, not even trying to defend that shit. It's bullshit. I told you it was bullshit, no matter how it turned out, unless they were able to write some type of miraculous fucking thing into this, it was gonna be some bullshit, and that's exactly what it was.
Right, because they made a big ass thing, and then you had the Talking Dead doing this thing, and then after it was revealed, he did a video. It was like, oh, this is just gonna make infuriate people even the more.
They were trying so hard to sell it last night,
dude. Right.
Or that they were trying so hard to sell it.
They took his name off the credits for 3 weeks.
Yep,
like that, like. That's how hard they were selling this shit. And yes, during the Talking Dead, they were selling it so hard. They had a poll, and the poll was like, what did you do when you saw Glenn was alive? It was like, do the dance of joy, pee myself, let myself, let out a scream. Like, it was only positive responses.
Of course.
They didn't want to be like, say, this some bullshit. That shit would have won that motherfucking poll.
Oh, the BS? The BS that they got a high percentage.
Mm-hmm. I know people was mad. Wasn't no option to be mad.
Right. Yes, they was.
But, yeah, man, I saw my timeline. A lot of people was mad. I thought I would be mad when they first did it, but Karen.
Oh, I wasn't mad at all. I think for me, I was like, well, either way it go, I'm gonna be fine. But you know, what's gonna be really, really fucked up. And I could see them doing this. And I don't know what's gonna happen because it's separate from the comic book world. Like separate universe. It wouldn't surprise me if they bought him back, and then later on, maybe not this season, in the next season, he ends up dying anyway.
Well, everybody kind of ends up dying eventually, I think, but. I just thought I would be more mad about this. But, I was just more like, fuck it, man. They don't care, so I don't care.
Right.
You know what I mean?
From now on, I will refer to him only as either Glenn Pock or Glenn Avelli, goddammit.
Came back from the dead.
Dog, yes, he is Glenn Avelli, dog. He is Glenn Avelli, dog. The 7 day theory. That motherfucker really, and he just, and it was also so anticlimactic the way that he survived, because it's like he just crawled from underneath the thing, all the zombies were gone, All the zombies had stopped trying to kill him, and that was the end. Like, he just waited it out, and all the zombies were like, well, say that again.
I said, with the zombies, when does that ever happen? Where they're like, oh, well, fuck it, he ain't here no more.
Yeah, the same herd is stuck around the wall of Alexandria. Why don't somebody just... Why don't they just throw a can? Just throw a can. Apparently zombies will just fucking hear the can and just turn around and leave, right? Get the fuck out of here. It's a huge size. And it's only because of who this character is to people, who this actor is to people, and it was a way to keep a favorite while pretending that the show had stakes. And it's the most obvious and apparent thing they've ever done on the show. And I do feel like it's a huge hurdle, and it is a jump the shark moment. Somebody was like, is this a jump the shark moment? You gonna start watching? And I was like, well, that's the thing about jump the shark moments. Niggas didn't turn the TV off when Fonzie jumped that goddamn shark. That's not how it happens. It just, that was the moment that you go back to 3, 4, 5 years later, like, oh man, you know what? Shit wasn't the same after that. So, I feel like they had their work cut out for them, because I think a lot of people are now feeling a lot less invested in the show because of that.
That's true, and this is just my, I guess, theory or controversial theory. It wouldn't surprise me if they had really drawn it where he died and just decided, nah, we're not gonna kill him.
Maybe.
Like if they did, because honestly, I think between Beth and Carol, I think Carol was supposed to die. But I think they chose to kill Beth instead, because just the way it was written, and she had a bunch of episodes where she wasn't there. This is my particular opinion. I think sometimes they might do things a certain way and then go back and just change their minds.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. Maybe that's how it works, but that would seem pretty costly and, kind of, like, for a TV show where they plan all this shit out, to just on a whim be like, ah, we changed our mind. We killed Glenn, but let's film a bunch of new scenes and put them back. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did they, because they don't film the stuff in order, and then all the scenes affect other stuff. And for this show to be so meticulously detailed, it would be a shocker to me to find out that they really were just reversing decisions that easily. Now, that being said, maybe that's the only thing that makes sense for a lot of people, since this shit didn't make sense. But I just think people keep sending me conspiracy theories and excuses and shit that didn't come from the show. I don't want to hear it. It's no excuse.
Yeah, that's
they let him survive on some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This is like, he's popular and they decided not to do it. It might as well let everybody write in letters to vote in a poll whether Robin gets killed or not in the Batman comic book. Like, it's a blatant abuse of your enthusiasm for the show. But I saw a lot of people that argued when this happened for it. They were like,
right,
I want them to be back, and they've done this before, and if they do it again, that's fine, and I don't care, and that's what a writer, that's their, and I was like, you know what, though? You say that, but I said, when the shit actually happens, you're not gonna be okay with that. It sounds okay in theory until you wait 4 weeks to find out what you already knew. So if you knew he was alive, all that means is that the show is now predictable as fuck.
True.
Then there's no level of whatever that they can do to somebody where you're like, oh yeah, I know that this one's fake. So either way, it was going to be some bullshit. That's why I said I'm cool with it. Once I realized it's going to be some bullshit, I said cool, and I'm over it.
And another thing too is, like, some of the people who I kept coming across were talking about how it's too early for Glenn. You know, right. They're judging from like the comic book and everything else. Like, we have to remember that this show isn't parallel with the comic.
No.
Yeah,
it's a separate universe.
At this particular point, I don't think I'm giving a spoiler away.
Yeah.
But at this particular point in the comic book, Rick is with Andrea.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely.
And Andrea's been dead for 3 seasons damn near now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't even listen to those people when they're like, mm-mm. No, because this has to happen. I was like, but you don't know that because the show hasn't done any of that shit. Like,
nope.
There's some stuff that happens to Michonne in the comic book that don't happen on this show at all.
Right.
They ship Michonne and Tyrese together in the comic book.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't talking about no shipping. I was talking about what happened with her with the governor.
when they first encountered him.
Right. But they don't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not even a reality in this world. So, you know, I just think that, people keep trying to turn it into the comic book. No, it's not. You know, maybe they'll do it. Maybe they won't. But that's what I like about the show is that I don't know what they'll do. Which is why it sucks when they do some predictable shit like keeping Glenn alive. Huge size. Glenn comes out from under the dumpster. Enid throws him a bottle of water from the roof. She says, "Heads up." And while he's still registering who the fuck said that, she throws the water and it lands in a mud puddle and breaks. And she's like, "I said heads up." And he's like, "Enid?" And then Enid runs off. And I was like, you know, I guess Enid's not a hopeless cause because at least she gave Glenn some water. Mm-hmm. You know, she tries to pretend that she doesn't care about anybody but herself. She's just out here to survive on her own, JSS. But she didn't have to give that man water or let him know she was up there. Mm-mm. So,
yeah, she has some humanity.
Glenn goes into the building that was always right next to the alley where they should have gone instead of that trash can. Mm-hmm. he goes in there. And there's no zombies in there, by the way.
All the way by that can.
Right. Nicholas and his motherfucking plan, his GPS. So he goes in there and he sees basically that Enid has been in there eating and surviving. She had busted open like 3 or 4 cans of some food and shit.
Right.
To which I was like, if it's only been one day, is Enid going through 3 cans a day? Because that's not smart. You got to ration that baby. So she was just like, and he saw that, you know, like a compass was in there and shit. Maybe it was somebody else's shit, but I think it was Enid's. And, Enid was somewhere in there hiding where he could hear her but not see her. And they had a conversation that basically culminated in him being like, what are you doing in here? She said, "There's another water bottle in the corner, take it and go." And he was basically like, "No, I'm not going to leave you out here. Why are you even out here?" She tells him, he said, well, did the herd break and hit Alexandria? Is that why you're here? And she's like, no. And I just want to clarify because someone said, well, maybe Glenn heard the horn underneath when he was under the trash dumpster, and that's why the zombies left. No, the horn is what started the herd in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't what drew those zombies away.
Nope.
They just decided it would be a convenient plot twist
for us to
move. And they all turned around and left. Glenn's having this conversation with Enid, who is, like I said, she's like hiding and he can't find her. And he basically gets to the point where he's like, what happened? She says the same thing that always happens. People died.
Yeah, because when he was talking to her, she didn't know. When she left out.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she says, and I was like, yo, Enid is so emo. Like, yeah. You know, she got the complete Daria collection in her house.
Ah, I love that.
You know what I mean? Too. Glenn was basically like, so people died from the walkers. She said, no, people came and killed the people. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what about Maggie? And she got real quiet and he said, what about Maggie? And then he started rummaging through the place looking for her. And I guess, since she was coming from above him, he went to the roof. And when he got to the roof, he looked down and she was already on the ground running away. And she basically said she didn't know what happened to Maggie, but she just ran the fuck out of there. Cause you know, Glenn, once he hears Maggie's name, he got to get that Popeye strum.
Right.
That's the only thing. It's the only thing them two care about is each other. Yeah. Maggie and Glenn. So Glenn gets his stuff, jumps down from the roof, and gets ready to follow Enid and just decides, fuck it, and goes the other way. First smart decision Glenn's made since he got under that trash can and the show saved him. But I'm gonna have to start calling that the jumping the Nick moment for the show. I think I'm gonna have to call it. Like, we need, instead of jumping the shark, we're gonna have to start calling like the hiding under the Nick moment. Rick, we cut back to Rick, and Rick saw Morgan practicing his Tai Chi with his, practicing his, what was that art he learned with the bow staff? Whatever it was. The don't kill nobody art.
The Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And, Rick was like, hey.
Aikido, that's what it was.
Aikido, yeah. He said, we're gonna have a meeting after later on. Conference call at lunch. And Morgan was like, all right. And then Rick went up to the wall, and I was right again. He discovered that was blood coming from a hole in the wall, not from the top. Spencer didn't kill himself. There was no suicide. The way the physics work, if the fucking wall had blood on it, it wouldn't start halfway down, guys. It would start from the top and leak down. That's just physics. Now, I can't help that I took physics, and some of y'all must not have, but that's common sense. So it was a hole in the wall that had blood coming out of it, which obviously means that the wall is now a woman, and it's time for Rick to have a talk with it. Okay, there's gonna be little boys looking at the wall now.
Gotta talk about the birds and the bees.
You gotta talk about the responsibilities, and Lori's not around to do that. So he sees the blood coming out the wall, then he goes up to the top. Maggie's basically on watch, just watching this for any signs of Glenn and the crew. And they have a little heart to heart, but Rick, it basically ends with Rick saying, hey man, the crew will be back. Glenn, Sasha, Daryl, Abe, they're our people. They'll be fine. Don't assume the worst. And I mean, at this point, Maggie, I don't even know that she needed to hear that, because Maggie erased Glenn's name off that wall. So I feel like she really does think he's alive out there.
True.
Like, she's not giving up hope.
But she was like, I just can't go get him, but I'm not giving up hope.
Right. And Rick says, maybe we can. We'll just figure out a plan. We got plenty of time. We can come up with a really good plan and clear out the walkers and save ourselves. Maybe we don't have to wait on them to come back. Then we can go out and look for them and shit. So don't worry, we're gonna get proactive and we're fine. The walls are still up, we're fine. And she says, I saw Judith the other day. She started to look like Lori and Shane. Right. It was a silent and Shane on there.
Right.
Implied.
Started to look like Lori and her real daddy.
You know that ain't your baby. Right.
Yes, starting to look like Lori and that man who's getting ready to have his own Marvel movie.
Yeah. Right, the guy playing the Punisher.
Right.
Old snail mail, buddy that wrote that letter to Betsy. Dearest Betsy.
Right.
Glenn rolled up on his corpse, which was quill. Yeah, with a quill, yes. Pen and inkwell. Old snail mail was sitting there wedged into the fence still, since he had gotten eaten and apparently he couldn't move anymore. And Glenn stabbed him in the head.
That was a cool effect with the eyeball.
Oh, his eyeball was stuck to the fence, y'all.
Yes, that was so neat. Oh,
so gross.
Yeah.
It was gross, but it was neat going, oh yeah, that makes sense, but ew.
So then Glenn found that letter to Betsy and he read it. He got ready to climb over the fence to go back home, and something, I guess, made him go, I'm going to go back for Enid.
Probably seeing him.
See, at the first, I thought he was going back for his stuff. I was like, that's right. Remember he left his stuff in the pet shop? Okay.
Right.
But apparently, because I thought that reminded him, like, oh, shit, I probably wrote a suicide letter. And
somewhere, too.
You know.
Because I was looking at Herschel's watch, getting all depressed.
Right.
But he was unborn.
Right, he might have wrote a letter to his unborn like Nas. I don't know. But he went back, apparently to find Enid. Gabe, meanwhile, back in Alexandria, is handing up flyers, to invite people to prayer by the solar panels at one. I guess he got a new sun god he's praying to. I don't know. But they're going by to the solar panels to do the praying. Mm-hmm. And Rick saw that shit and ripped that shit down like he was Bill Maher. It was great.
He was like, nope.
Yeah. And then, I love that the little small touch in that car goes, Dad. You didn't have to do him like that. Damn. cause you know, Carl's got a little soft spot for Gabe now. Remember he was gonna teach him how to use a machete and shit?
Right.
Like, he trying to be friends, and Rick's like, man, fuck your religion. Right. Don't nobody wanna pray with you, nigga. You fucking, you hating ass motherfucker. Right. You snitch ass bitch.
Your religion don't matter.
Oh, man. And I was like, yo, the worst part about that, ain't no printers. Gabe had to draw all them shits himself, man.
Handwrite.
Handwritten notes to every, he wasted paper, ink, and, his time.
Yeah. And he ain't got the technology we got. You can't go back to the Word or the Google documents and bring it back up and just, send it to the inkjet again.
Yeah. So, Rick basically gives, Ron a lesson in how to shoot with a gun. Even though he doesn't give him any bullets and they don't actually do any target practice. But he just talks to him.
Because he'd been so pressed. I was just looking like, why are you so pressed to get this training all of a sudden?
Yeah, and I think since Rick saw that hole in the wall, he's a lot more conscious about the idea of making noise. Because before he was teaching the boy how to shoot at the top of the wall, like aim here, make this, you know. And now he's like, yeah, we should probably cut down a lot on the noise in here because the wall is on this period and it might get an attitude.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
I'm just surprised that Rick isn't more wary of the fact that, like, this kid didn't like you just 2 or 3 days ago. Like, mm-hmm. He hated your fucking guts. And now he's your bosom buddy. You can't leave. You can't go anywhere without this kid being in your ass. Something ain't right there, and I'm surprised Rick ain't picked that shit up.
That's what happened when you fucking somebody's mama.
Right, and I think, like you said, it's probably to get on that boy's good side, and mm-hmm. You know, he's like, hey, you know, he's finally quote-unquote listening to me, and I don't think he totally trusts him, because I think that's another reason why he didn't give him bullets.
Yeah, he didn't give him bullets.
Right.
But the whole time, Carl is talking, and just, he's doing that annoying thing where someone's teaching, and then he's like the student that always gets an A in class and raises their hand because they know all the answers.
Right.
Like Carl was acting like how I imagine Peyton Manning is acting when they try to have Osweiler in the quarterback meetings. Like, nobody was asking you, dude. Like, let him get this. He's like, yeah, so what's going to happen is you're going to tense up and you're going to miss. He's like, yeah, you're going to miss too. Like, it was like that, it was like Pootie Tang. And it's hot out there too. Like, all right, man. Like, damn. And so I saw the way Ron was looking at Carl. Mm-hmm. And he just had this look on his face. And all I could hear was Jeremy by Pearl Jam. Like, he had that look like, I'm going to put on a black trench coat, come to school, shoot everybody ass up.
Everybody.
He had a look on him, dog. It was pure evil.
And it didn't look right. And from that moment on, cause I didn't know, you know, what was gonna happen. But my theory at that period of time was like, he trying to learn so he could fuck Carl up. And I thought about that and I said, I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen, but it won't be surprising to me if he's so pressed to learn how to do this shit because of Carl, because he had issues with Carl from the beginning. And I think he feels like he, quote unquote, stole Enid from him. Enid don't want neither one of them motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. It's Enid, but.
Oh, yes. Enid.
And he also, the other thing too is, like, when they had that Friday night sissy fight not too long ago.
Yes, they did.
Carl won. You know, I know he just saw himself being pushed down on the ground in slow motion. He's hot about that. And he's young. And he comes from an abusive household. You know, like, there's a bunch of markers on this kid. He's, you know, he's angry, he's rebellious, he blames Rick for his father's death, he, you know, doesn't like Carl, he thinks Carl stole his girl, if Enid even knows that she's quote-unquote his girl, like, that's some possessive shit he might have learned from his dad,
right.
Like,
I don't think she knows.
Yeah, the kid's all fucked up. So, you know, now Rick gives him a gun, but no bullets, said, so you can just get used to carrying. Keep in mind, Jesse told Rick not to do this.
Right.
Just keep in mind. Yeah, say again, Span. Sorry.
She said he can't hear that from you. He can't get it coming from you.
Right.
She told weeks ago.
She absolutely told him that. I just love the way this show ties little threads together. That, cause you forget about these little shits, especially if all you're doing is watching the show so you can come up with the next, like, complaint instead of, like, paying attention to what they're giving you. A lot of this shit comes right back and you're just like, oh fuck, they did say Rick not to do that. And Rick, with his fucking dictatorship, mansplaining ass, is like, fuck that, boy won't learn, I'm gonna teach him.
Yeah, but
I fucked your mama last night. Come on, let's do it. You shouldn't possibly feel any kind of way about that.
Right. Like, people don't have emotions. Like, people forget shit.
Right.
And it's also one of those things, like, she know her child. And she's like, he's not, which he really didn't hear him. He was just following instructions.
Right.
But he really wasn't taking what Rick said to heart.
He's thinking about shooting Carl.
Right.
Rick is handing him the gun, and Rick's instructions were terrible. He's, see, you hold the gun like this. Looks like I hold your mama titties last night, right? Now imagine, nope, move your finger like this. Imagine it's the clit of your mama. All right. Then you're just going to flick it like this.
Like I flicked them nipples.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's going to squirt, just like your mama did last night.
Car wake up the next morning, you want some breakfast, baby boy.
Walk downstairs butt naked.
With no, yeah. And then and Carl just in the background co-signing.
He got his dick in his eggs, man. Like, come on, man.
All old and greased up, shining and shit.
Carl co-signing it. Yep, yep, just like your mama. So then Rick was like, I gotta go to my conference call with Morgan and the crew. And first Morgan walked towards Denise's doctor shack to ask what I assume to ask for medical attention for that wolf that he has hidden back there.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise, and he gave up and changed his mind because she didn't come to the door fast enough. And then she opened the door. She was like, sorry, I was just making this, and it was some runny looking white shit. And she asked him, did he want some oatmeal? And I was like, that's the least advertising invitation for oatmeal I've ever heard in my life.
Right. No, thank you.
You want some of this? Like, she said this like I fucked this up. Like, I don't know what you call this. Oatmeal, I guess.
Yes.
Cereal?
I know that question. I done fucked some shit up. I don't think you want.
Is this grits? I don't know.
I don't want this. And I don't think I know, you do either.
I know I made it, but like technically, it's, I don't know what it was.
Right. And no, we would not be eating this for dinner.
And of course, more.
Just add a little more. It's a little watery right now. Just add a little more. It'd be all right.
Add some flour.
Hey, you know, Morgan was like, I don't eat white people's cooking. So he just walked off. he's like, probably ain't got no seasoning. Then he turned around and walked off.
probably didn't.
So then Morgan goes to his 10:30 conference call. And in the conference meeting, it wasn't just Rick and Morgan. It was Rick, Carol, Michonne, and then Morgan on his side of the table by himself. And the other three kind of all on their side of the table. And I said, are they about to lay him off?
They about to get the pink slip.
I've had a couple of these.
Right.
That's how it goes. You start seeing people in the room you don't even fucking talk to. You're like, what are you doing here?
Why you here, HR?
Right.
In your badge, Michonne, to escort you to the gates.
Yeah. You know Michonne is security. Also, I noticed everybody, Michonne's sword was at the table. His, Morgan's bow staff was at the table. I said, these motherfuckers about to get the kung fu fighting.
Right.
So, Rick basically just sat him down. I was like, so, how you think you doing here at Alexandria LLC? What's your 5-year goal? What's your 5-year plan?
We've been keeping an eye on you. You know, you've been tardy a few times.
It's been a lot of IMs, a lot of instant messages going around.
Right.
I'm not saying that you can't do it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we've been getting some complaints about you on the intranet.
Notice you've been making a lot of personal calls.
Mm-hmm. They're over 5 minutes.
Right. So,
bathroom breaks.
Yeah. A lot of unorganized breaks. Are you going one or number two, if you don't mind me asking? So basically they asked Morgan, Rick's like, yo, I killed 5 people with W's on their head on my way here. And, Carol said when the wolves attacked, you let a lot of them live.
Mm-hmm. He was watching.
So are those, like, could that have been the 5 people you didn't kill? And, Carol's there and everything. And Morgan's like, well, No, and then, yeah, Morgan's like, yeah, I let some of them go. And Rick's like, why? Like, why would you do that? And Morgan says, which, by the way, I don't know, for the record, I don't know if it's Lenny James acting or if I just legit feel like Morgan had a great point. But he basically said, why didn't you kill me?
Yeah.
And Rick says, because I know you and that's not who you were. And he said, I tried to kill you. Like, that definitely wasn't an accident that day. I stabbed the fuck out of you, Rick, and you still let me live. And because you let me live, I later found Aaron and Daryl and saved them from a car full of walkers. And, you know, because you gave me a second chance, it was basically kind of paid forward because of that. And everybody was like, yeah, that's cool, bro, but, like, them niggas is savage. Mm-hmm. And so then Morgan was like, look, all life is precious, Rick. And Rick was like, Michonne was like, all life is, first he said, I don't know what's right anymore. To which also I'm like, yo, Lenny James absolutely killing that scene, because I've said last week, it kind of felt like Morgan is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
With killing. And his joint is like, I can't take a sip because I just be killing motherfuckers like, clear. And he's like, I can't go back to that, Rick. You don't understand, dog. Like, I'm straight on a no kill diet right now. I can't, no kills. Just go straight to my thighs. And so, he said, all life is precious as that. And that idea changed me and it brought me back and it keeps me living, which, makes me wonder, like, what would he do if he gave up on that? Would he kill himself or something?
Right.
And so Michonne's like, yeah, nigga, that's cool, but you might have to stop doing that all lives matter shit, because things aren't as simple as four words, and I don't think they ever were. To which Morgan says, you think I don't belong here? And Rick says, making it now, you really think you can do that without getting blood on your hands? And Morgan says, I don't know. And it was some powerful ass acting.
Basically, they just put this nigga on probation.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
6 months.
He got his first disciplinary letter.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck he got.
Yeah, they said they're watching him. It was a nice email. You know, yeah. Paper trail. Start that paper trail early. What I thought was funny about this, well, not funny, but what I thought was interesting about this is, one, some people were like, yeah, if he should have told him about the wolf right here. I don't think he would have, and that's not because it would be a death sentence for Morgan, because people kept saying, well, that's a death sentence. Mm-mm. I don't think they would kill Morgan for that. Mm-mm. I think they would kick him out, possibly. Mm-mm. Maybe put him back in that same cell, but I don't think that's what would happen. I think they would kill that wolf.
Yep.
And I don't think he's okay with that.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's how fucked up the psychosis he's in is. It's like he's on some, like, I'm not telling y'all because y'all would kill him and I don't want him. That would be me not protecting his life. Now, even if I don't take a person's life myself, if I do anything that allows their life to be taken, then that is the same thing as killing them, basically. That's like I'm aiding and abetting, which that's the scary part to me with Morgan. Like, if a motherfucker said I don't want to kill people, cool. Here are some kitchen utensils, work and make us some food. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you don't want to kill? Work in the garden. That's fine.
Yeah, clean the bathroom.
Right, we can work with that. What I don't want is a motherfucker that's like, I don't kill, and I let the enemy live, and I feed them, and I put them in our house, and I'm not going to tell nobody about it. Fuck that secrets kill.
Yep.
So, yeah, Morgan's on some fuck shit. And he basically said that he doesn't know if he can live without getting blood on his hands or not. So I don't think that means that he would never kill, but it just sounds like he ain't found a situation where he would yet. Or would again. See, you come back, the tower's cracking, like a ticking countdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
The tower is split in half from that truck hitting it.
Right.
Rick tells Michonne about his plan to clear the walkers and how he's gonna use fireworks and guns, and they clear a path and they go out and kill some walkers and shit. And she's like, okay, cool. He said, yeah, we'll have this person do this and this person do that. And she notices he's not mentioning anybody that's not that anyone from Alexandria, basically. And she's like, well, what about the Alexandrians? You know, he said, well, I just like to keep this between our people for now. And Michonne's like, why? Like, we should tell everybody. Mm-hmm. And Rick's like, you know, which I kind of understand Rick's point of view.
Right. Cause he was like, I don't want, cause every time I bring something to them, everybody gets scared. Everybody panic. I got to calm everybody down. And people don't want to go with the plan. Like, fuck that. I'm tired of making executive decisions and the whole ship get rocked every time I say some shit versus everybody being more understanding.
Right. Right now, Michonne is like the text winner to Rick's Phil Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's pretty much one of the only ones who can like really get in his face and get in his ear and get him to do what she, well, what she thinks is best for the team, even though he may have like the better overall view of what needs to happen. She can get him to look at the macro, instances of what needs to go on for the rest of the team to flourish. She's like the text winner to his Phil Jackson.
Yes. And he listens to her.
Yep.
Which I do like, because she basically called him out and said, nah, you can inform the Alexandrians of your plan, even though they do whine about it. Now is the time, because we do have walls around us. We do have legitimate safety, and we can take time to train them, because anything else is just excuses, because you're writing them off. And right. Rick's been acting like that all season. Like,
yes, he has.
I don't even think he knows Alexandria's names other than Deanna. I think he'd just be like, and number five, listen.
Right.
And they need them, to be quite honest with you. You can't keep running your star players all game.
Yes.
You need some people to come off that bench, man, and he ain't trying to use the bench. Yep. You got to get these people involved.
He on that Thibodeau, man.
Yeah, he is.
He think he Thibs. Out here, damn, running Derrick Rose into the ground and shit. Michonne, hey, like, my knees hurt.
The starters need a break too, bro.
Yeah, right. They do.
Michonne about to turn to Joe Kim Noah. Right.
Backup got to come in someday.
Deanna ran out of breath, running up there to tell them expansion plans. I noticed that it was a small little thing they put in there, but she came up to them like back in the like 1900s and 1800s when a courier came out of breath to be like, good news. The capital is rioting. You know what I mean?
She rode that horse over there and got off and ran the rest of the way.
Right. Like Paul Revere. She came up there and was like, I got these expansion plans. And, I felt good for her because she finally had some hope and like she finally had some soap and washed her face.
Yeah, she did.
Like, I don't know if she got
her ass, cause she was looking downright dirty.
Yeah. So she finally got some hope back in her face and some color. And
hope,
you know,
we'll make you clean yourself up.
Right. You know, she got some makeup on. I said, good for you, Deanna. Glad to see you back on the ball.
She was like, woo, I ain't got that stress no more. Here you go. Take these problems.
And Rick goes, well, I got other things to worry about. She said, that's okay. That's okay. Cause one way or the other, there's going to be an after this. Mm-hmm. So we need these plans for later, no matter what happens today. And then, we cut to Rosita, who's teaching machete class. And Eugene was daydreaming like a motherfucker, thinking,
yeah, he was
holding his machete, contemplating life, thinking about, does this add +2 melee to my character or not?
Do I need to level up? should I go in this tunnel and get that extra half a heart down there?
And it got on Rosita's nerves that this motherfucker was still being a coward.
Can you blame him though?
Right, he was here. He was listening to the zombies outside and shit. And so Rosita was basically like, look, bruh, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. But what the fuck is your problem? And he said, I'm a weapons novice with a significant blade here, and there are people in my proximity with open-toed shoes. And she was like, nigga, don't nobody care about that bullshit. Get your ass in gear and learn how to use this machete. And he still was acting like a punk. And she basically was like, so what is it? That's like, what do you expect to be able to do? You don't want to fight. You don't want to learn how to protect yourself. What are you afraid of? Is it, you know, the sound that those walkers are making? And he said, well, dying, obviously. And she was like, well, that's not the hard part. Dying is over like that. Anybody can die. She's like, it's living, knowing that you didn't do everything you could to save people.
Message.
That's the shit. Like, being a coward is worse. Like, a coward dies 1,000 deaths, basically. And I was like, and you could tell she had had some pent up anger from all those nights of watching him jack off in the corner with her and Abe fucking.
Ah, you know, and basically you have to remember, he set back the bulk of their trip and did nothing while Abe did a lot of the killing. So it's like, she basically watched him just be a coward.
Right. He never carried his weight, and he always had those bullshit ass stories. So she don't see it for us, nigga, man.
Right. And she was like, look, everybody else here paid $19.95 per month to take this class, nigga. You are not wasting their time. They came to hear some instructions.
Right. She said, what are you scared of and shit? Called him out. And then she finally said, my favorite part was, are the noises scaring you, or can I get back to my lesson? And then she was like, oh, are you gonna, or is it too much, too, like, is it too much for you? You have to leave. And he left and went to cry in the car. He ran off, and all I could think of was that DJ Pooh from Friday.
My grandmama gave me that change.
Yeah. see, Enid, is back in, you know, back in that little strip mall. Basically she runs into Glenn again. They do a little quick scare that looks like maybe somebody with a bloody hand over her mouth is gonna abduct her or something, but it's just Glenn telling her to come back in and not to go out with the zombies. And she basically pulls a gun on him. It's like, I ain't coming back.
Right, like, nigga, I don't know you.
Yeah, he tried to pull his daddy voice on her, cause you know, I feel like maybe part of this is he's gonna be a father. So maybe he's trying to save this little girl.
Right.
She was and like, he pulled the, I'm not having this conversation.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, we're in the same neighborhood, but I don't know you.
And see, I noticed something. It's a lot harder to scold a child in the zombie apocalypse because you can't really yell.
Right. You get like, too loud, everybody gonna die.
Zombies were right outside the door. So he was like, I'm not having this conversation. And I was like, see, you know what been perfect there? Black mama church eyes.
Black grandma.
Black grandmama church eyes, dog. Look, shut me right up every time. And you got him to be scared to open a peppermint.
Piss right. The shit out your ass.
Right. She's giving you that look like, it's like a tally just appears in the air that goes, whooping has been accumulated. Plus one whooping to be administrated later.
and she see the plus ones over your head too.
Right. Bling. Like, bling, you're bling. Like, I just hope I can be good enough for the rest of church to get minus one whooping. That's
that
all. Yeah, she ain't gonna forget, by the way. She ain't gonna forget. You can give up.
It's gonna be real hard to get some minuses.
It takes a while to, when you're a kid, till you learn, that it's the whooping happening anyway, so then you just start being bad.
You're like, fuck it.
That's the next level.
Go home and get instantly sleepy and shit. Like, yeah. You know what? I think I gotta take a nap, grandma.
I'm taking a nap too. Where we going? We laying right here.
Oh, you gonna take a nap?
Yeah, we all gonna lay down in here.
Got the rest this whooping off.
Right.
It's just like the end of a house party when Robin Harris came in with a nigga trying to get bed.
Yes.
Whoop his ass.
So Rick tried to be a handyman and fix the wall by himself where he saw that blood. And he had screws and 2x4s and shit. And, he's pretty handy, man, to be able to do that.
Right.
Cause I didn't see no electric drill or nothing. Mm-hmm. Y'all niggas would have been ass out if it was up to Rod to fix the fence.
Ah! Rick is a one man show.
My black ass would have been up there like, hey man, anybody got an electric power drill? No? Well, I guess we're gonna die. All right. I made the little marks. I don't know what's happening. Be looking at that shit like furniture from fucking IKEA and shit.
Oh, that shit the worst with them fucking terrible ass instructions.
Which way does board go?
Why is this in Chinese?
I'm gonna just crisscross it, man. I don't know.
Why we got leftover pieces?
Fucking hand me some tape.
Right.
Hand me some tape, man. I'm gonna duct tape this wall real quick.
It says F with C, but shit, this don't go right.
I'll put some duct tape over the blood hole and be like, hey man, it's fixed. y'all welcome. It ain't leaking no more. So Tobin comes over and actually that happened a little bit later, but yeah, he's trying to fix the walls. Okay. Glenn and Enid are now walking towards Alexandria because Glenn has scolded her and she's coming with him. He basically blamed Maggie and said that he's doing it for his wife because he couldn't face his wife and let her know that he had left her out there by herself. She kills a walker. For some reason, he gets mad at her for killing this walker. I have no idea what that was about. I think that's a pretty safe thing to do. Them little short grabby walkers be the ones that fuck you up when you ain't paying no attention, and half the Alexandrians get killed that way, so.
That's true, but I guess it's one of those things where, you know how Glenn, it's a quote unquote moral compass, and it's one of those things where like, yeah, anybody else, okay, but you didn't have to, like, you could have kept it pushing, like, everybody seen it, it wasn't gonna harm you,
yeah.
It wasn't gonna hurt you, so why waste your energy and effort for the journey that we got to take? And Did somebody said in the chat room, did any of them have them keys around her neck?
I didn't notice it.
Okay. The keys for the town where she...
Yeah, no, she gave those keys to Carl. She been gave those keys to Carl. She gave those keys to Carl when she showed up with him.
I thought so.
Yeah, so no, she definitely had no keys. Everybody would have noticed that.
Them big jingling ass keys. Jingle, 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 jingle.
That would have been like the biggest fucking thing of the show. Everybody would have been like, them big ass keys. Like, this shit, as much as many of y'all believe she's some kind of wolf or something, or infiltrator, y'all would have been on that.
Right.
But yeah, so, they also find some balloons and some helium. So they gonna get some more balloons, some more string, and, you know, they can use them as a signal or something like that, is what they were thinking. And Glenn takes his time out to try to get to know. He said, who'd you stay with back home? And she says, that's not my home. I live in Olivia's place, but that's not my home. And I like that. And then she basically, says that, she's orphaned by walkers. She ain't got no parents no more. And Glenn says, me too, probably. And which, you know, it's just sad because, you know, you don't get to see your parents. You live away from them. At this point, you got to assume they dead. You're not, it's not even call them. She says, it's just what happens. And, you know, she's just so, you know, just so hopeless at this point. And I'm like, damn, she been reading, Ta-Nehisi Coates book or something? Or, I mean, she seemed pretty down, man. I felt kind of bad for the little girl, man. Yeah, she was basically, low-key sad or whatever, and he says he's trying to talk to her, and she goes, I don't need a lecture. And he says, yeah, I think you do. And man, I said, you know what, that's very fatherly, Glenn. Felt like a Glenn, sitcom. Go ahead.
Glenn,
I'm sorry,
Glenn out here doing his fucking public service announcement. She ain't trying to hear none of this shit. Like, look, dude, you ain't my daddy. I don't know you like that. Fuck away from me, man.
He sounded like every DARE police officer that ever came to my junior high school. He's like, listen, son, drugs make people losers, okay? That's what the problem is. The real...
And whack it to back it.
Not whack it to back
it. Why do you think they call it dope? Huh? You ever thought about that? So Glenn gave her a speech that basically said, don't give up hope. And
Jackson, man, keep hope alive.
Yeah, keep hope alive. And I was like, good, you know, his dad experience grew two sizes that day. Good for him. Ron made some noise in the storage room and tricked Olivia and was able to steal some bullets. Why does Olivia still have a job guarding the guns and the food?
I don't know.
She never shot a gun.
She needs to be fucking fired.
And she looks like she's eating all the food. I don't understand how the fuck she got that job.
Me either. And
white privilege?
And the thing about it is that I was like, he would have never did that shit with Carol. So basically he went to turn some shit over. She looking at it, he sneaks in there. And I'm like, yeah, anybody else would have been looking around like, if I'm the only one here, why is shit being turned over?
Well, Ron's got bullets now.
Yes.
And she wasn't even suspicious of what happened. Glenn and Enid.
I have a question.
Yes, Karen.
She don't keep inventory?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Okay. What is her job?
Okay, she don't be like.
She was going to let them just take the food. She never notices when anything is missing. And you know she don't keep good inventory. Carol got guns for everybody, remember?
She sure did.
Yeah, she don't keep up with that shit. She be like,
she needs to be fired.
She don't even know what difference between guns. She just got a little list. Little gun, big gun.
Little bullet, big bullet.
Little guns.
I'm surprised Carol didn't take that over once she, you know, that she came out of being undercover, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, I'm surprised she didn't just say, you know what, I got this from now on. Y'all know I'm a killer.
Right.
I got this.
You like, know what, I think, I might be wrong, but it won't surprise me if she did take that job, and I think she was at that 10:30 meeting. That's why her ass went there. She was like, look, I gotta go to this meeting. Could you watch this for me?
Yeah, I think Carol said she likes working on the wall. That's what I think. She likes watching out, seeing all the zombies and shit, and all the danger first. So, what else happened? Oh, yeah, so Enid and Glenn see all the walkers from the outside, and they're like, Enid just turns around like, well, fuck it, we tried.
Right. We almost made it.
And Glenn was like, nah, don't give up. She said, what's the point? The world is trying to die. We're supposed to just let it. And there were tears in her eyes, and that little girl was acting her ass off.
Yeah, because she got emotional, because it's one of those things. That's why she got mad at him when they were doing the helium for the balloons, because he wanted to talk to her. And she was like, no.
Well, he brought up her parents, and that's when she told him, we don't have to talk.
Right.
Like that girl was acting this week. Man, she was acting. I couldn't tell before because I was like, she's played such a down in the dumps character, that da 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 Daria shit. So I was just like, yeah, maybe she just, you know, can't act, or she just playing everything is like angsty. And it, but when she put them tears in her eyes, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So this whole act is to protect herself from being harmed. She don't, like Glenn said, she don't want to care about nobody because she don't want to lose anybody else.
Correct.
Glenn's like, the wall's still up. We can, you know, everybody's still inside. It's okay. We're going to still send them a signal and let them know we're okay or whatever. She says, I'm sure your wife will forgive you, if you just, you know, leave me out here. And he said, it's not for her anymore. I'm like, was it really ever though? Glenn, you're too good of a person.
No, he used that as an excuse.
Yeah, you were never going to leave her out there. Not just for Maggie, but for you. So then Spencer has a plan. He doesn't tell anybody. Everybody just sees him in the middle of his plan. He throws a grappling hook across the way to a house, and he tries to crawl over there to the house across the herd of zombies. And then,
dumbest plan ever.
To me, I thought he was trying to escape. I said he leaving everybody to die. He getting this fucking graveling hook.
He was like, I'm out. Fuck y'all. Fuck my mama. I'm out.
He had a backpack weighing him down, and I'm sure it was full of the good liquor and all the cookies and
the
chips.
The Cheerios, the Snicker balls.
Right.
This motherfucker took the Grand Marnier. Like, hold up, dog.
And that's really where his plan fell apart, because he was too heavy, and the fucking rope broke, and he fell down into the walker pit, but the side of the rope that wasn't attached to the grappling hook was still working, but the other side was not. He fell into this walker pit, kinda, and everybody started shooting. Tara runs to go help him right into the action, didn't even think about it.
Right.
I know she used to be like a police trainee and shit. So, and then she told Eugene to tell Rosita and Maggie to fire their guns to like spread the herd out. And Eugene was even scared to do that.
Hey, the fucking worst.
Like, dude, that's no danger to you telling them to do that. He's like, oh, I just would advise against. She's like, shut up, Eugene, and do it. And so she starts shooting zombies. Rick starts shooting zombies, and they start pulling Spencer up, and they save him. And Rick is pissed, and he's mostly pissed at Tara.
Yeah,
he's pissed as fuck at Tara. He turns right to her and starts mansplaining right away. Didn't even get mad about Spencer and that extra 20 pounds he put over in the last 2 days
because he didn't care
eating everybody's food. Nothing. He turned over to Tara and said, "You almost died for one of them."
Yeah.
And Tobin, the guy who had just told him not to give up on the Alexandrians and shit, was like, damn, nigga, really, we still doing this? We just had to talk about not giving up on us, and you just went right back to sizzle.
Still ain't trusting them bench players, man.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, you almost died. That's what Thibs used to say to Derrick Rose. You almost got your knee hurt for one of them. Just, damn it, Derek.
It's the 76ers, motherfucker.
Yeah. So he said, Terry, you almost died once for these people. And then she said, what? And he said, what the hell are you doing? And she straight up flipped him off. My favorite part of that is, if you go back and look at it, Michonne is standing next to Tara, and her face when she sees the bird, like, she literally has to look at her hand like, oh shit. Oh, we flipping motherfuckers off? Okay.
It then got real. She was like, bitch, you ain't gonna tell me what to do.
Tara's so sick of Rick and his mansplaining ass shit. Mm-hmm. She already lived under one mansplaining ass dictator.
Right.
It's like, fuck that, man. This is what we do. We help people.
Right. And if I go, I'm going to go on my accord.
And Spencer said what his plan was to get out there and drive the zombies away. And Rick said, fuck that plan. And why didn't you tell me? And he said, would you have listened to me? And I said, that's cool, bro, but your plan didn't work. So it actually, this ain't the time to ask that. Like, you got a point. Rick doesn't respect y'all Alexandrians, and he wouldn't have listened. But the other part of that point is, your plan was stupid as fucking did almost got you killed. So right now might not be the best time to say, you wouldn't have listened to me anyway, cause he was right not to listen to your dumbass plan. Then, Morgan and, Olivia, when we get back, have like an impromptu flashcard session where he basically finds out if she knows what she's doing. And she does know about infections and infected wounds. After he kind of tests her, and he says, I came in here this morning. I'm not hurt or anything. I don't have an infection. Earlier this morning, she said they were good on antibiotics. So he was like, I want to tell you something, but it might get you in trouble or whatever. And basically he's telling her about the wolf that he has captured. And I'm like, Denise, don't do it. Don't go after this fool. Don't, not for this guy. You know, and
she don't know though.
Her thing is, I mean, she didn't even want to be a doctor 2 weeks ago, and now she's following HIPAA. Like, come on, dog. Like, let that nigga die.
Right.
I would have just let him die. But she said, okay, I'm gonna help out.
Is her name Denise or Olivia?
Wait, what am I? Olivia's watching the guns. Denise is the doctor.
Okay.
Denise is Tara's love interest, I believe. I think I have that right, right?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, let me Google right now, Denise and Tara, so we can be sure. But
yeah, cause they look alike.
Yeah. Yeah. Denise is Tara's love interest. Okay.
Okay.
So you know, and then Denise, they come up with a plan, and Carol sees that she's holding Judith, and Morgan's walking one way, and Denise is trying her best to clandestinely follow him without looking like she is, but it's so fucking obvious.
Right, she keep holding Judith and shit. Yeah. And she immediately went to detective mode, cause she was like, that don't look, didn't she see him earlier too? No, Rick seen him earlier.
Well, she's been watching Morgan for a while, and she's been saying she's watching him. I mean, hell, mm-hmm. she snitched about him not killing the wolves. Like,
right.
That's what she does. She watches people. And, Morgan even asked, was she a cop at one point? Carol sees Denise following him, and I'm thinking like, yo, does Denise know exactly what's going on? Does she know she's gonna be treating a wolf?
I don't think she does.
And also, you know, maybe she thinks she's gonna be getting some dick. I mean, do we know Denise is gay? Maybe she realized she's gonna die, and she's like, you know what, women, black dick, animals, I've tried, there's a lot of shit I haven't tried.
Mm-mm, she don't want him.
Okay, you sure, Karen? She is a heavier white woman and he is black.
Oh Lord.
And if I go by my TV stereotypes, they are gonna be in love.
Right. And go by porn, it's some BBC happening.
So
that's what porn tells me.
Anyway, they she follows them, and Carol sees this and starts following both of them. She gives the baby to Jesse, goes in Jesse's house, and Jesse has her guns out, and she's like, can I help you? And Carol's like, I know you watched the baby this morning, but I need to watch her before I can do a shift on the wall. And Jesse's like, well, you want me to take your shift on the wall? And Carol's like, no, I like being out there. I gotta replace Maggie or something, and I like being able to see all the danger coming from every angle and all this stuff. And so Jesse's like, okay, that's cool, let me put these up. Practicing gun safety, puts the guns up. While she goes to go put her guns up, Sam, all the way from upstairs, hears Carol and starts talking to her and asking her like, you know, how everything is down there. And she's like, I can barely hear you, come down here. And he's like, if you kill people, do you turn into one of the monsters? And she said, the only thing that keeps you from becoming a monster is killing. And he asked if his dad was one of the monsters. And Carol just didn't have time for this shit, but I wish she really would have made sure to check on this nigga, because I don't think a little kid should be walking around thinking killing is the only thing keep you from coming to becoming a monster. Because who knows what he got to do.
Right, and he young and he's scared, and honey, he been up there sitting in his room for 45 days.
Yeah, like, that dude needs an actual explanation.
Right, because he was 8, 9 at the most.
Right, and now the mama's watching Judith, like, a little motherfucker might kill Judith or something. I don't know. So then she has to go, and Judith is being watched by Jesse. And Rick comes over to mansplain to Tara about saving Spencer one more time. Let it go, dude.
Yes.
You got flipped off already. And she said, he said, why'd you do it? And she said, I wasn't thinking about all that. I just went to save him. He said, you know, it was stupid. And he said, she said, I wasn't thinking. She was like, he was like, so that's why you did it? You weren't thinking? Is that it? And she said, no, it's what we do. We're stuck with each other, right? Deanna comes over. Thanks Rick for saving Spencer. He said, don't thank me. Thank Tara. And then she's like, I already thanked Tara. So we good. And Rick, says what was bothering him was that he saved Spencer when he could have jumped down the wall and ran away to save everybody, but he didn't, because and she said, why didn't you do it? And he said, because he's your son. And she said, wrong answer.
Right, she was like, because you care.
Yeah, now, nah, because I think the, what do you think the right answer was? You think it's because I care about him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's much, because you can, to an extent, even though Rick is still an ass, overall, I think that he's beginning to slowly care.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he didn't give a fuck, he wouldn't have cared about him jumping down there.
I think the right answer is because, oh wait, what do you think the right answer was, Mr. Spann? Sorry.
I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is in that particular instance. I think he was just, he just said what he thought was, what he thought was being frank. I thought he was just being frank. Yo, like, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
I feel like the right answer is actually, cause it was just the right thing to do. You know what I mean? I think it was really simple. That's what she was looking for. And, he had that convoluted ass, he's your son type of thing. And, Maggie and everybody sees the green balloons that Glenn and Enid collected.
Mm-hmm.
So they know they're alive now. Ron is following Carl through the little walkway through the town, and he has his hand on his gun in his back pocket, and we know that gun has bullets now.
Yes, it does.
And that light skinned nigga on the what was that, Menace to Society?
Yeah. You know my favorite, my thing. Here's a low key, like, how I watch the show is, I think, is a little different from how other people watch it. That moment is the exact reverse of when Rick looked at Pete. When Pete was walking with Jesse, and Pete and Rick put his hand on the gun in the small of his back.
He did the same thing.
Looking and lusting after that man's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like a savage.
Right.
And Ron is, this is all over Enid for him, really. Right. And
all over Enid.
Rick gets quote unquote Jesse, and then you end up with Ron doing the savage thing, trying to take out somebody that Rick cares about, you know? Because ultimately, even if he tried to take out Carl, I still feel like it would be a swipe at Rick, as well. Like, it would, like, that he would be included in that too.
Right, because at the end of the day, it's just one of those things where he looked like, you killed my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to bury him in the city. I mean, you know, within the walls. Like, you treated my loved one like complete shit.
So,
and I think he know that Rick would whoop his ass too.
Maybe. I mean, shooting somebody.
Correct. Well,
I think he's still more pissed at Rick than he is even at Carl. I think he knows that, like, I think to some level, he knows that Carl and Enid don't really have shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an excuse or something he's built up in his mind to get back at Rick. If I can fuck this kid up, he'll feel it the same way that I feel about my dad, you know, in that way. I think he's using Carl in much the same way to get back at Rick for what happened to his dad. I just simply don't think that Carl is the only reason for why he feels the way he does about it.
I agree. Anyway, when the balloons come, everybody kind of forgets about that. And then that fucking tower cracks in half and brings down two or three panels of the fence with it, which will, of course, let in a horde of zombies, and the episode ends.
Right.
And I did notice there were some people at the prayer meeting with Gabe, so it's about 1 o'clock, and one of them brothers are like, Sinbad, that nigga gonna die. I've never seen that dude before. There were a bunch of extras we haven't seen before, but that one dude in particular, I was like, you are a dead motherfucker, bro.
I guess we'll talk about it on, but I do think, well, even with him having that gun with Carl, even with that, I'm like, you better hit Carl, because I was thinking, like, you underestimating Carl. Like, even if you hit Carl, if Carl got strength, he'll kill that boy.
Maybe. I don't think Carl is as tough in the show as he is in the books.
Okay, that makes sense.
Carl in the book was a beast. Carl on the show still kind of seems to be learning the ropes. Like, even that fight they had last week, that shit wasn't even savage. Like, he just pushed them down like, we got some emails. Let's go through these. Turk says, actually, you know what? We should probably sponsor these emails, since it's probably about that time to wrap up. We might do a story or two after this, but let's do this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
These emails for The Walking Dead is brought to you by Bevel. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's the season for giving, so Bevel wants to offer you a special deal to try out the Bevel Shaving System. Get your first month free. Yes, free. By using code TBGWT, free. But don't sleep. This offer is only good for the first 300 people, along with limited time holiday pricing through the end of the year. New customers and memberships only. So if you've been wanting to try Bevel, or you got a person in your life that you would like to have them try Bevel, now's the perfect time. You can get this joint free, and you get some special prices till the end of the year. Go to getbevel.com today and get your first month free with code TBGWT free. Become the nephew or niece that is your favorite of somebody's uncle or grandfather or whoever, or father. Like, go become the favorite sibling. You can do it. All right. I mean, listen, I told you, when I bought my dad his Bevel, we got free wings, okay? I'm just saying.
We sure did. Them wings were delicious, too.
And chicken is the gift that keeps on giving. So Turk writes in, hi, guys. I'm happy Glenn is alive, but that cliffhanger was a fiasco. The Walking Dead is the planet's most popular show, so the showrunners and or network didn't need to sacrifice the storytelling to get publicity that the show didn't even need.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what this was really about. If this show had aired in 1995 or even 2005, the cliffhanger would have worked better. Today, it just couldn't play it well. Being vague in interviews, removing Steven's name from the credits did not help, because the internet had too much evidence showing Glenn was alive based on photos from the set. By Sunday, yeah, people sent me those, by the way. Two things. Don't send me photos from the motherfucking set or any other spoilers or casting news. I don't want to know it.
Mm-mm.
I like being surprised.
Right. And they could have been doing a flashback or anything. You don't know.
They could have been doing like they did Herschel, mm-hmm. where they brought him back to the actor back so they could do some flashbacks. Yeah. But he was actually still dead on the show. Don't do shit like that. It pisses me off. Second thing, I meant to say this up front. Don't write my show and our show, Karen, our show. Don't write our show talking about other shows and how you don't like them. Many of these shows are our friends.
Mm-hmm.
So what the fuck? You know, what kind of passive aggressive shit is that? Am I supposed to read that on the air and tell those people that you don't like their show? They have email addresses. If you don't like something they're doing, you can email them and tell them that you don't like it. But you're not forced to listen. All this shit is at will. And no, I will not agree with you that you don't like something, so we gonna kick it about that. No, the fuck we're not. So don't do that shit.
And these shows are free. You ain't put in on
it. Right. People work hard to give you this shit for free, and you write other people passive aggressively about them, then that's fucked up.
Don't do that.
All the thing that means when our show does something, you know, like, you gonna be writing them.
Right.
Like, I ain't, man, come on. By Sunday, I felt the show needed to pull something big to make the cliffhanger worth the wait. They either needed to kill Glenn or a F you to the spoiler site so people would start to question the photos from the set, or they needed to remix the comic and have Jesus or some other highly anticipated character save Glenn. The show really failed to maximize the suspense and fluidity of the storytelling by airing the episodes in the wrong order. They should have aired Thank You, Always Accountable, Now He's Not Here, and then Heads Up. The voice on the radio would have added more depth to the Glenn cliffhanger, because viewers would have been left wondering if the voice is Glenn, Rick, or someone else with a new emergency we had not seen. Well, we still wondered that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how changing the order would have made us wonder that any different. People were still writing to be like, is that Glenn under there with the help? So
yeah, and I thought it was Glenn when I first heard it. I was like, is that Glenn Avelli?
Is he alive?
Glenn Park?
Straight up, man, I thought it was him. And like I said, after a while, man, the way that they strung it out, I started, you know, figuring it could be a possibility that Glenn Avelli, if you will, was still alive. I just felt like in that particular instance, how the hell is he going to get out of that?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it was like. Come on, man. And then, you know, when they did the whole thing with the alternate view of Nick being on top of him and everything else, everybody had that theory in the beginning, but like, we didn't see that at first. So that was just my only thing. But yeah, man, it is what it is.
They hollering Glenn Park back.
Hey, man, the Luma Zombie, man. I'm telling you.
Luma Zombie.
Telling you.
So, but yeah, I was personally, I feel like I don't have a problem with the way they aired the episodes even.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they did way too much with the Talking Dead and the interviews.
Yeah, that for me too.
All that shit, taking his name off the credits, all that shit. They just did too much. This is one of those things that if you decide to do this, you shouldn't talk about it at all.
Yeah, they straight oversold it.
Yeah, they just did not need to do it. It's, you know, it would be like if every single interview for Game of Thrones was about Jon Snow this year.
Yeah.
Like if everybody's just talking about Jon Snow, like at some point you're just like, all right, you've done this to a point where it's just not even cool anymore. But with Game of Thrones, it's not like they have a After the Throne show where they go,
right,
you know, is Jon Snow still alive? Mm-hmm. You'll find out with a special message in 10 minutes. Like, no, we don't need that.
You just have to wait till next week.
So let's see. Yeah. So, and yeah, the episode order, I don't think changes any of that. Morgan's flashback should have been sandwiched between Rick, return to, ASZ and Rick's discussion with Morgan after he confronted him, about showing mercy to the wolves. Well, you know what? I don't want to rewrite the show, to be honest. That's not my job here. And I don't really get into the, like, here's how they should have did it. Like, this is what they did. And that's here's my opinion on what they did. And I just think, I don't think it's a matter of order or any of that shit. I really don't think that would have fixed it. I think they did a lot of shit outside the show with it. That's all. It became bigger than the show for some reason. And it's a big ass show. I don't know why you would need to have the highest rated show become bigger than the show. Like, I don't. Seems like a very thirsty thing to do for some reason. Let's see. Do you guys feel that there was a better way for the first half to be told? What change would you make? Nah, I like the way it was told. As a show, I like it. I just think everything outside the show just made it whack.
Right.
You know, just like I said, if you leave everything alone and you just don't do the Talking Dead teases, you don't do the cryptic interviews, you just fucking put the show out, stay silent about it. I think it just goes off a lot better for me. You know, maybe if I was binge watching it or something, it would go off better. But the show clearly was aware that they were pulling this move with one of everybody's favorite characters, and that made it whack. Day Walking feedback. Hey, Karen and Rod. I really enjoyed the last episode of The Walking Dead, not because of Glenn, but in spite of his survival. I wish I was on the I will miss his character, but he needs to be dead and hope he is trained. And the fact that he isn't cheapens the story a bit for me. There is no conceivable reason for him to have survived that Walker swarm based on everything we know about Walker behavior. I like the Morgan Rick Michonne interaction. I hope Ron tries to pop off on Carl, and I was all the way for Tara giving Rick the finger. He was dead wrong yelling at her to try to, for trying to save Alexandrians. Ron's just too much like his daddy. He might have to catch that fade. Well, what's funny is a lot of people, I did see a lot of people hoping that Ron kills Carl, which was crazy. I was like, wow, I didn't realize y'all still hated him.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't never letting season two go.
Oh, yeah. Season two. Where Carl? I don't know. Where Carl? Out in the back. Down by the lake.
I like that Carol found out that Morgan was hiding something, even if it might not mean anything. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. Carol at the end did say, who do y'all have in here?
Mm-hmm. And they're gonna have to explain next episode
in that house with the wolf.
Well, not next episode, the walls don't fail, but yeah,
I'm really disgusted with Morgan. While I think his pacifist lifestyle is ridiculous, it's particularly annoying that he is forcing the group to unknowingly accept the danger of keeping that wolf inside the walls because he believes he can be saved. At a minimum, if he really wanted to keep the wolf, he should have been keeping him outside the walls and assuming the individual risk of going back and forth to tend to him and read him Aesop fables or whatever he's doing. He wants the ability to choose the path, but he isn't willing to suffer any consequences for choosing it, i.e. getting thrown out of Alexandria or getting modified treatment by Rick from the group. But that seems to be a long-running theme in this show where someone decides to refrain from killing Walker or human or out of delusion and or self-righteousness, and it ends up costing someone who is actually trying to effectively adapt to the world. It still makes me mad anytime it happens, but that keeps me into the show. Yeah, I know some people are on some like, I can't believe they doing this, but it's like, that's the show. It's gonna always be that.
Mm-hmm.
One person is always gonna, like, everyone's gonna be a separate group of motivations, and it's always gonna be that person who puts their interests above the rest of the people and puts everybody in danger. It's just what it is, or else there's no fucking show.
Right, even Carl fucked up, and back to season two, he didn't kill that Walker. That's the same Walker that turned around and killed Daryl.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Dale.
Dale, I'm sorry.
Score one for Team Petty when Rick snatched those prayer circle signs down. Swallow a whole bag of dicks, Gabriel. Nobody needs your raggedy prayer circle. I would rather have Iyanla fix my life than go to Gabriel prayer circle. Overall, I like the episode. I'm ready for the mid-season finale. Plus, hashtag them lands. Yes. Yes. Oh, them lands been so good.
Man, they so trill.
People keep talking about, Rod, y'all gonna review it? Okay, here's a quick 5-second review of them lands. Nigga, damn.
Right,
it's done. There you go.
That's it. That's the whole show right there.
Fuck y'all want me to say? They was kung fuing real good. Watch it.
It's not like, it was swords and knives
and a whole bunch of interpersonal dialogue, dog.
People was getting stabbed and fucked up.
Ain't a lot of nuance to these cliches. A whole lot of kung fu. Better be tuning in. All right, y'all, be easy, have a great day. Winter. Thank you, Winter. Cecil writes in, they walking, sup Rod and Karen, kind of long email, so I'm gonna get right to it. This ain't even long. My initial reaction to seeing Glenn alive was to roll my eyes. Him being alive seems like a ratings ploy, just teasing it every week. His death fell in line with how most main characters die on this show. The thing they don't deal with or kill eventually kills you. Morgan's All Lives Matter talk is slowly making me dislike him. I understand his transformation with Dr. Phil, but at some point he's got to get woke or he gonna have to go based on the Rick-tatorship rules.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, he need to go, honestly. That's the real truth.
I think that's what's going, well.
You think he's gonna get kicked out?
No, I think Morgan's gonna die really soon.
Oh yeah, maybe. I mean, that might just be what has to happen, dog, because this ain't really sustainable. And people keep talking, like, my boys at Five Starter keep being like, I'm waiting for Rick versus Morgan. I'm like, I don't think it's gonna come down to that, because I don't think Morgan has that type of mentality.
Right.
Like, I don't think he's a leader. I don't think he would try to take over Alexandria. I think he would leave. Eugene is so great. His speech and one-liners are kind of things of beauty and something I look forward to. Spencer thinks he's an impossible white man. Fuck these Alexandrians. Yeah, Glenn, the real impossible white man, said we don't kill nobody. Looking forward to see how they dealing with the wall coming down and Carol going ham on Morgan when she finds out he's hiding. Love the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's going to be real interesting when she get up all up in that room.
Jabari sends a solid line of text and says, hello, hello, Rod, Karen, possible esteemed guests, and dear brothers and sisters in the chat. Thanks for taking my email for this episode of The Walking Dead Recap. Just a few observations. One, I hope everyone is finally happy that they got their Glenn fix and he made it. The effects in that scene were so good. After seeing so much social media traffic about whether they should have killed him or kept him alive, I ended up feeling indifferent about it. Although I can appreciate your argument that the show may become predictable if all or most of the stars start surviving all the sticky situations. Well, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying it's already predictable if they can do all that and people went, yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah.
That's all. If you, cause I watched it and had the same thought, which was like, yeah, I don't think that's a conclusive kill. Like he could survive that. And I thought to myself, they're not going to play it that way though. They're about to play it like it's a 5-week tease when it's not. Like, so when he's alive, it was just more like, oh yeah, he's alive. We finally are getting back to the story that we care about. Not, oh, he's alive. No one saw this coming. It was the hugest debate on the internet. Everybody saw it coming.
Yes, they did.
And I hope it doesn't mark a moment where the show is predictable, not because they won't kill cast members, but just because we've seen the cliche so many times now that we know when someone's going to die and when they're not. I think by comparison, that's one thing that Thrones does better than most shows is the main characters aren't promised to survive the season, although they have more main characters to choose from. Well, shit, they're getting quite a lot on this show, but yeah, I hear you. I agree with you. 2, Enid was so Nirvana teen angst after giving that water to Glenn, and she, in her own way, had a Sasha moment where she had nothing to live for, so she was going to live dangerously until she met her fate. Without Glenn mentioning it, can't remember whether he knows or not, his you have to live for those that don't speech was reminiscent of the generic teacher in school to save trouble you speech. And then he wrote, cue the Dangerous Minds music. Yeah, that joint was very, you smoke crack, don't you?
You're gonna jump, do it expeditiously.
And sync perfectly with his wife's speech during the machete lesson. That's not his wife, that's Rosita. Maggie was watching the wall, man.
Mm-hmm.
3, Deanna's son was trying to make a late season entry for Impossible White Man award with the grappling hook maneuver that looked like it was flimsy from jump. Didn't even seem like a good idea from any angle, and I'm curious to know what y'all think about why Rick saved him instead of making a break for the car, as he told Deanna. I just think he did it because Rick's, as much as Rick tries, he's not the asshole he claims to be.
Nope.
Like, Rick is definitely like, I he tries to say he's this tough, heartless motherfucker, but he wouldn't do that, I don't think. That's some Shane shit. Shane would have ran. 4, what lady's son, that lady's son who was trying to murk Carl out is such a herd. More teen angst. 5, Rick took down Gabriel's prayer sign faster than the Iota probate sign getting removed from the yard. Damn.
Oh,
6, ouch. That tower came down faster than Ronda Rousey on the canvas. Actually, it took way too long. 7, does it seem like an easy setup for you that Morgan is going to be faced with a be killed situation with that wolf next week? Thanks again. Well, I mean, that's not an easy setup. Is what will he do? Is the setup? And
yeah, either he gonna kill the be killed, or either
maybe the wolf will kill somebody else.
Right, because Carol bust up in there like, hey, what y'all doing up in there?
Maybe the wolf will kill Denise.
Yeah.
Thanks again for all your hard work on the podcast and recast. I continue to enjoy the show. If the Itis were a Mortal Kombat character, the Patty Pies would be the Fatality. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Best regards, Jabari B at 2 Stones 1 Bird. Thanks, man.
Thank you, sweetie.
And last one, this is from EVE. She says, hi, Rod, Karen, and Mr. Span.
Hey, what up, somebody though? Paid attention.
A Rick slipping? I don't understand why is Rick slipping? I don't understand why he taught that little motherfucker Ron how to shoot. Now that creep is gunning for Carl. I hope, well, yeah, Rick ain't paying attention to none of that. He had a lot of problems this week,
mm-hmm.
including just getting back home, you know? I hope what's still amazing about this season, because I love this season, by the way,
mm-hmm.
despite the Glenn moment. What I find amazing about this season that I just don't know if it's really been done before like this. 2 days have passed.
Yeah.
In real time, right?
8 episodes, 2 days have passed. Like, I'm just so amazed by that. Like, the storytelling and the time back and forth and all this shit has been amazing to me. The way they sync up the episodes, just, I could not be more impressed, man. It's a credit to story writing that the shit makes sense. Like, I'm not saying like the characters make sense, because obviously zombie apocalypse, everybody's crazy, blah 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 blah, characters have to do nonsensical things, but the actual, like, at this time this thing happened makes sense. I hope the zombies tear him apart and he ends up screaming louder than bitch ass Carter. I don't mind Glenn being alive, but I have a feeling not everyone will survive next week, major characters included. Yeah, a lot of people. I saw someone say, they said, I want Glenn to be alive. You know, I love Glenn. Then they said, but I think they should have Maggie and that baby that she's carrying die in front of Glenn. I was like, that's worse than death, nigga. Like, why don't you just wish he was dead then? You're not doing him no favors.
Sure not.
If no major characters die, then I think people will say the show has become predictable, myself included. I'll still watch, but I'm sure they'll lose people over that as well.
Not really, because they've had at the end of season two, when they had the herd breakout. I mean, they had characters die, but I don't think they had any major characters die.
I won't believe anybody's leaving the show till them fucking ratings go down. This shit was the most watched episode of the season. Like, people talk a good game, but they be watching this shit.
Of course, ratings don't lie.
Yeah, everybody just, like, it's a hard show to review because it's a very bleak show. And from what I've noticed, most people can't handle it because they end up going into what would I have done to survive the zombie apocalypse mode instead of what did these characters do and how does that make sense in the world that they've created. And that's the thing that I'm reviewing while other people are, you know, paying attention to that shit. But what I like is that most of the time in the world that they've created, the consequences and the rules all make sense. That Glenn shit was really the first time that I've ever seen the rules just completely be disregarded for a character.
Right.
All right, man. I'll let Mr. Span pick, man. What would you rather do, man? Our last segment before Sword Ratchetness. Guess the race or Baller Alert?
Baller Alert. We got enough racial shit going on.
All right.
All alert.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, I'm looking for a 5-star being talking about. I just stepped out of magazine. Stay fly and your neck stay fly and your jukebox wet and your hair stuff hot like. Gucci man got 9 cars. We don't call them down no more. Oh, now we call them 5-star. 5-star nigga, that's a 5-star bitch. That's a 6 for that 5. That's that new L6. Pay a bill, get a hair fix, might even pay a rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent. I can't even lie, I'm so super high. Do not need her, will not keep her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thug, B, yo man is a scrub. See, she love me now, she love you not. Now all my bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, hood up Gucci girl and beat me. And you can find a 5-star hotel, you can meet me. 5-star, that's a 5-star, and that's a 5-star, and that's a 5-star. And if your credits go high, feet and nails stay fly, keep your juice box wet, and your head something fire, you a 5-star, and you a 5-star. All right. Here are your choices, Mr. Span. Number one, 9 reasons to skip the singles table this Thanksgiving. Number two, groupie tales, another Ricardo Lockett tale. Number three, groupie tales, my first night with Hakeem Warwick. Number four, recognizing the men who just want sex. Blogged by at Proudly Lauren.
In the spirit of Thanksgiving, we're going to go with number one.
All right. Thanksgiving's coming up for a lot of you people out there. A lot of people going stag to Thanksgiving. Well, here's 9 reasons to skip the singles table this Thanksgiving day. Now, I did not know there was a single table.
Okay. I didn't either.
This is a new phenomenon to me. I know there's a children's table.
Right, and the adults table.
Right.
That's because kids knock shit over.
And a spades table.
They're smoking in the basement.
This and you might have a little drinking table after you eat, but yeah.
This year, you may want to skip the singles table. This special post right here is dedicated exclusively to the ladies and gents spending their holiday alone. You can be alone for a number of reasons. Recent divorce, breakup, recent argument with the beau, no money, have to work, or you are just single and have no significant other right now.
Oh, you might not want to date. No, you might be like, I'm doing me.
Well, that's just, you might not have a significant other right now. Okay. That cover, it's covered. But what about those singles who have family, have friends, and have the time, but still choose to celebrate alone? Can you still do that and be okay?
Yes, you can.
Maybe you just want to see how it is to be alone on a holiday, something you never had before. I feel like all these advice posts are always written to the person themselves for their younger self. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, why you don't have to settle, proudly Lauren. 5 years ago. I hope you can read this. You don't need a man who's going to play Xbox all day in your house, leaving his socks all over the house. And it's like, that's not everybody's problem. That's specific to you.
Right.
You know, two paragraphs in. Yeah, Jim.
Because she forgot to change the pronouns correctly.
When we want change in our lives, we have to feel the pain of staying the same. We have to learn to cultivate solitude in a way that generates more positive energy around us instead of forcing down how we really feel to make others happy. This only keeps you in a rut. We can be so attached to our families and their needs that we act like the 6 or 10 year old in us. We have to go to the family dinner as an adult. You can choose now to do something different that is more in line with your future goals and current needs. If you are alone this holiday, please do not stress. Do not feel the need to defend why you want to be alone. It could be that you just don't want to be bothered with the fake smiles you muster up to show everyone things are so great in your life. This is clearly about herself. I feel so sad for her. Like, but it's good that she got this clarity that she didn't even do all that shit.
Right.
Maybe you just want to break on a day where you can be yourself and be left alone. If someone doesn't share your same view, that is their problem to work out. Single people have a right to be selfish on the holidays, smiley face. This too shall pass. Below is a list of things you should do to make your Thanksgiving day the way you want to make it on your own terms while remaining ever grateful and thankful for all your blessings. Number one, movies. Make sure you paid the cable so you can order some on-demand flicks.
Gotta pay that cable.
Something funny and like she used to didn't pay her cable.
Right. She didn't have the money. She's like, make sure.
Like that Thanksgiving, I'm trying to go back 3 Thanksgivings ago when she tried to order on-demand and the cable was off.
Right. She was like, shit, I forgot to pay the bill.
Nobody's working the Time Warner on Thanksgiving.
Nobody.
The whole time was 3 hours.
Of course.
Something funny and lighthearted usually does a trick. Try to get in 2 or 3 or at least one. Two, indulge in one of your favorite high calorie treats. You have permission today. You may bake some cookies, for instance. Have fun with it, and it makes the house smell good. Number three, get started on a project. Whether it's an organizing project at home, listing goals in your journal, writing that book chapter, or sorting a pile up of mail, it will make you feel productive.
Shit happen if your project is just asleep.
Number four, stay off the internet.
What?
I didn't see that one coming.
Me either.
Dude, this is only from experience you can know this.
Right.
Because I wouldn't have thought of this.
But to an extent, for some people, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This experience, she knows. Do not go online on Facebook or any other social networking site. All the cheers about the holiday are going to annoy you. Remember, this is about your solitude today, not making yourself feel bad. Yeah, so you go on there, you see everybody with their family and friends.
All happy and smiling and shit.
And, you know, you decided this holiday not to go see anybody. So it's like, yeah, I don't want to go on social media. Can't blame, you know, I understand. Number five, get a pile of books together you have been meaning to read or finish. Make sure there are books you enjoy. This is supposed to be relaxing, so please put away the GMAT books.
What the hell's a GMAT book?
That's a task for, like, I think, graduate school or something like that. Anyway, number six, if you have neighbors, offer to babysit their dogs or walk them on Thanksgiving. You must like dogs. You don't want to get rid of one stress to add another. So if you don't like dogs, number six is no good to you.
Bad for previous relationship with your neighbors before your creepy ass come over there talking about walking their dog.
Right
out the blue.
Hey guys, ma'am, Can I walk you? Can I babysit your dog? Ma'am, please, can you back off 6 feet?
Yeah.
You said it on my driveway, ma'am.
Right. And you have high heels on. How are you going to walk my dog?
All right. Seven and... Oh, go ahead, Stan.
I'm going to tell you right now, my dog ain't going. He's going to tear your ankles up. Right.
Ma'am, have you ever babysat a pit bull? Right. I don't think you want to just jump into this. Number seven, indulge yourself, whether it's with a glass of champagne, a nice bath, a foot massage, or just an afternoon nap. Do something that makes you feel pampered. Men, you may want to clip those toenails today.
Yeah, person spends all she can be cut.
My favorite thing about this is she gonna be drunk while your dog is over there at her house, or right. What?
Clipping toenails and shit.
Taking a nap, somebody dog running around. Number eight, do a thankful ritual, like praying or giving thanks in a special way. You may light a candle, burn incense, or whatever you like. Oh, nigga, you might as well go ahead and get you some food, man. You can get you a plate then. Just going up there and see your family then. Number nine, go to Boston Market. Oh, okay, you got the plate covered. I apologize. And get the Thanksgiving Day dinner. Or this out? No. Now that's, okay, I was with you to everything with this. Now see, this sounds just sad, okay? Like, the other ones was like, you know, I can understand not wanting to, but then you kind of semi-participate by going to a corporation to get some Thanksgiving food. Man, you might as well stay home, man. Fuck that.
Yeah, if you're going to do this, you might as well just cook at the house and stay home.
Go to Bojangles and get a three-piece.
Go to Bojangles, get a tailgate meal.
I mean, a Thanksgiving dinner, like, you couldn't have said Chinese or something. Like, just, like, if you're not participating, then just fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Just, like, order a pizza. Fuck it. Do you. But it's weird to be like, I'm not doing Thanksgiving this year, but I am going to order some Thanksgiving dinner from Go Boston Market. But yeah, you see, this is why you gotta have at least a couple of local friends, so you can be like, hey man, bring me a plate, from your grandma's house, man.
I ain't going, but bring me a plate.
Yeah, you can't hook me up, man. I'm lonely.
Do that. They're like, hey man, if you don't bring your ass over here, come get this plate. I ain't bringing you shit.
Right. Yeah. Come over there and say hi to some people so you can get this food.
Right.
If all else fail, buy a box of Velveeta or Kraft. Oh no.
That's
so
sad. Oh no. No way. No, ma'am.
No, not the Mexican cheese, not the faux shredded cheese.
Oh, no. Yeah, this is definitely to a younger.
This is so disappointing. And
yeah, this is bad. Like, that's.
And I know a lot of people like Velveeta, but that's a brick. That's not cheese.
That's like eating depression. If you eat Velveeta Kraft macaroni and cheese. If anyone has.
You can afford more. You can afford better cheese.
If anyone has any other tips, please add. Being alone for the holidays hurts, especially if it's out of control and you really want to be with somebody. Well, yeah, that's, yeah, well, see, that's not how you started this, but yes, if that's what it is, I agree. Mm-hmm. I understand. I mean, I wouldn't do that last food thing. Don't take Proudly Lauren's food advice, but, mm-mm. You know, other than that, I definitely understand. You need to be distracted. Well, in order to change tomorrow, you have to accept the rawness of how it feels to be unpartnered. If you don't, you'll just attract a man who is emotionally unavailable because you are unavailable to yourself. In the meantime, celebrate on your own terms. But to give an iota of love to others during the holidays, you have to have some in your own life.
Yeah, this sounds very, very personal. And this sounds like she alone and it's like, I'm not really happy alone.
Yeah. Oh, I said this is a Proudly Lauren, but she didn't write this one. This was what is this? Alphanista.com. Okay. And Mrs. Big wrote this.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that are alone that would bring their asses on up in there for Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. And Cuban B, everybody fucking asking them about why they ain't got nobody. And you hit the wrong one that cussed your grandma out for the 50th time for asking them the same goddamn question every Christmas and eat their dressing and go on about their business.
Now, this is from 2008. There are some comments on here. And it looks like some are missing, but she responded to all the people who left comments. Girl, it is. The holiday really messes some folks up. Now my mother is upset because everyone who said they were coming over and not coming over, and she cooked a big meal. I swear this holiday time is best for families that either live near each other or are very close. It can make folks upset for a whole lot of nothing. Yeah. You know what's funny about what's funny about that is that if you can't like see your family, that's one thing, but the way she framed it was just like, man, don't go see them niggas.
Yeah, like they up the block somewhere. You just saying fuck it.
Yeah, if you can't see them, that's a completely different circumstance.
Out of state or something like that, or out of town, but like too far where you can't, you know, get the gas and you ain't got that money. That's a completely different situation.
Right. Baller Alert writes, "Oh God, this is bad." LOL. Damn. It's on your site. How you gonna shit on the people that post on your own site? That's
like,
cold.
They're like, this ain't good.
Miss Big says, LOL, did you see those cheap lunchroom chairs in the pic? I think the single ladies table is more popular in the South, but I have seen a few times around here, especially at church dinners.
What is a single person's table?
I've never heard of this. I guess so at church, they have single people's table? Is that what it is? You go to church Thanksgiving?
I've never seen one.
Mrs. Big says, LOL, and notice how the other table in the back for the other folks is much nicer, being wood and all, just saying. Miss Nikki says, I'm trying to figure it out. Are those two? Oh, I guess there was a picture attached to this and they took it down. That's what it is.
Okay, yeah.
And I can't see the picture, so I don't get none of these comments. So, all right. My bad, y'all. Say, what'd you say?
I said, my bad, y'all.
Oh. yeah, should have checked the volatile alert, groovy tail or something.
My bad.
Yeah, it's all good though. It's all good. All right, man. It's time to close this bad boy out with what we always close this bad boy out with.
Sounds like the very beginning of End of the Badlands.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh man. You know, it's about that time of the year. Friends and family all gathered around. Everybody is seeing all the people that they haven't seen in a while. But make sure you guys treat your neighbors nice, okay? A Klingon sword brandished in a Trekkie trash dispute, cops say.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
Are we in space? What's happening here?
A Klingon sword. Nah, that's not it. Where's my... Here we go. Yeah. A Spokane, Washington man. Oh shit, let me turn this down a little bit. Alright.
Serious.
Man, hey, when them niggas used to fight with them swords, that shit used to be so good. Spokane, Washington man faces assault charges after a neighbor claims he attacked him with a Klingon sword amidst a dispute about trash.
Oh.
Yeah. A neighbor accused 50-year-old Carlo Morris Cerruti of attacking him and a neighbor after the neighbor left trash in his trash can. He left it in the trash can and you still tried to attack him? What the fuck? That's some just because you just have a sword. You just like, fuck it. I've been wanting to use a Klingon sword for a while.
Yes, I was thinking I power up.
He's like, you seem to have left trash in my can. This is highly illogical. Carlo, I left the trash in your can.
Right.
Documents say Cerruti's wife Joyce was in the midst of the argument about the trash with the neighbor when things escalated. Our next door neighbor was evicted and he was throwing his stuff in our garbage can. So I took it, put it in a bag, took it to him and said, Junior, will you please not put your stuff in our bag, garbage can? And she says the neighbor then threw a bag of trash at her, which she says hit her in the back and also threw trash in her yard. Now, for the record, I understand her point, but I gotta put this on her. That was so passive aggressive.
Right.
It was already in the can. He was being evicted, which means you will not see him again.
Ever.
And you just had to get one last dig. Like, nah. You put your trash in your trash can.
Like, nigga, with the trash can, I'm no longer gonna have. Fuck you. So, I'm getting evicted.
According to court documents, the neighbor called alleged Cerruti charged out of the house with a replica Klingon sword. The neighbor said he was ultimately able to pull the sword away from Cerruti and then dial 911. The wife, however, claims her husband never attacked the man and that the neighbor actually barged into the home during the dispute.
I don't believe that.
She claims Cerruti grabbed the sword as protection and only then did he swing it at the neighbor. So.
No, I'm not buying this.
You think he's a Klingon?
Apparently so.
Maybe that's what it was. The sword is called a Batle. And these weapons are preferred by Klingon warriors who are martial arts masters.
What were you going to say, Mr. Spam?
Nothing.
He's like, I ain't got nothing to add.
There are at least six other documented incidences of people getting into trouble with the law as a result of replica Klingon items. Wow.
I didn't know that Star Trek thing went that deep.
Oh, it's real in them Star Trek streets.
Mm-hmm.
They created their own fighting style and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Studying old language.
Shit. Yep. It was like, you think, after he fucked up that trash can, he was like, make sure you guys check out this fan report. It's on iTunes and Stitcher. He's always talking about some interesting stuff with some interesting people, man. He has some really good episodes over there. And you know, Mr. _ Span on Twitter, and it's two N's
people.
So make sure you guys hit him up, man. Such a cool dude, man. Glad to call him a friend, glad he could be on the show and all that stuff, man. And the spamreport.com is the website as well. You know, like I like Mr. Span. Remember that time we sat through like 5 different tapings?
Oh yeah.
Podcast? Like, but he was like, man, I'm sorry about this, bro. I was like, no, we can work it out. It's cool. Like listen, he was like, man, we're going to try one more time. And I was like, man, I got all night for you, bro. So
listen, these are two of my favorite people.
No real doubt, man.
After my show, this is my favorite show.
No doubt.
So anytime they ask me to come on this show, it's nothing.
Well, I appreciate it.
You, bro. That's how it goes. That's how we roll. So,
and we still had one of the illest podcasts ever about gun control that nobody will ever hear. That was just basically a good conversation.
But you know what? I think that the conversation that me and you had on Medium Talk was just as good.
It was. It definitely was. It definitely was.
So if you guys aren't premium, go get premium. Mm-hmm. Go listen to that one if you want to have a really good, or you want to hear a really good conversation about gun control and whatnot. We had a really good conversation that time.
Yeah, man. And we got to find out about some of the stuff he's had to do for work, man. This is an awesome show.
I got a
new
album coming up on Facebook, man. On the Job with Mr. Span. Y'all go see some of these basements I had to go in and work in, man.
I can't wait.
I am here for it.
And we'll be back tomorrow for premium people. We'll be doing Ball Z sports a couple days early.
Yep.
You can play it during Thanksgiving dinner with all your family and all the adults around drinking and playing spades. We'll be back with feedback on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're gonna see Nick Ju for Thanksgiving, hopefully, if it don't snow or nothing.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that, man.
Yeah, I'm excited about seeing her, and I love me some Nick Ju. I really do, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, people can say what they want to say about the internet, and then we'll move on. People can say what they want to say about the internet, but everybody ain't crazy and everybody ain't insane, and there are a lot of wonderful and beautiful people out there in the world. And I met Nick basically through the internet, you know, and because of this podcast, and we've met wonderful people because of the podcast. So before we leave, I wouldn't feel right without just telling the fans, just thank you for all your love, thank you for all your support, thank you for everybody's gone premium, everybody's left an iTunes review, a Stitcher review, a one-time donation, thank you for the retweets, thank you for the posts. Like, it all means a lot to us, and we do what we do because of you. So we just want to tell everybody out there, just thank you.
No doubt, man. I echo those sentiments. And for Jermaine, or whatever you call yourself this week, when Nick comes up here, we're going to have an open marriage and lots of gay sex. So that is a thing. You have to think about my morals all week, man. And I mean, it's going to be all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't allow. So just letting you know, buddy. All right, we'll be back Saturday. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.